Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Okay, yes on 7.net. Kelly Rivas, thanks so much for joining us on Tomorrow Matters.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. And we are so out of time, and I want to say thank you all for giving me your day. It's really appreciated, and hopefully you can make some good choices on 7. We'll continue the conversation as we go forward here for the next month. Have a great day, and stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. You watch the Dow fall off a cliff in the last hour of trading, and you know something's going on.
This late-day sell-off can also be attributed to the fact that the ban on short selling was lifted today, which means that a lot of the hedge fund traders were able to get back into this market, and that also put downward pressure on the financial stocks, which is what led this sell-off throughout the day.
CBS's Alexis Christophorus, the Dow had lost about 678 points and closed below 9,000 for the first time since August of 2003 at 85.79.
It was a year ago today that the Dow closed at a record high above 14,000. And since then, we've seen this economy plunge into the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. The Dow has tumbled 35%, and the stock market has lost $7 trillion.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. Responding to today's plunge on Wall Street, President Bush will seek to reassure the nation in a statement tomorrow morning about 10 Eastern. Press Secretary Dana Perino says Mr. Bush will assure the American people that they should be confident that every effort is being taken by the government to stabilize the financial markets.
Oil today, $86.59 a barrel, down more than $2. OPEC doesn't like what it's seeing, plans a price meeting November 18th. Energy consultant John Ritterbush.
The cartel is usually very successful in propping up prices when supplies are relatively tight, but they don't necessarily have a good track record when demand is exceptionally weak, as is currently the case.
Some experts are predicting prices will wind up in the 50s per barrel, maybe even in the 40s. Brazil can't believe its good fortune. And fortune is the word. Black gold's been found off Brazil's lush tropical coastline, billions of barrels underwater. The president there has already called it a gift from God. Abortion in the presidential campaigns today.
Though it's one of the most emotional issues that divides the presidential candidates, abortion rarely comes up on the campaign trail. Democrat Barack Obama wants abortion to remain legal. Republican John McCain does not. After a questioner raised it at a town hall meeting in Wisconsin, McCain drew the contrast sharply.
Senator Obama has a clear, radical, far left pro-abortion record.
With the narrow divide on the Supreme Court, the next president's appointments will likely determine if Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion, is overturned. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Washington.
There will be a report released tomorrow in the so-called Trooper Gate. Alaska's highest court ruled today, politicized or not, the investigation may continue.
The Supreme Court's ruling affirmed that the separation of powers doctrine is alive and well.
Kate Herring in State Senator Hollis French's office, who's led the investigation into the firing of Governor Palin's public safety commissioner. He allegedly resisted pressure to fire a state trooper who was in a nasty divorce with Palin's sister. Again on Wall Street, the Dow lost about 678 points today. This is CBS News.
I'm in the best shape of my life. I run about four,
maybe five push-ups is all I can do.
But for my age, that's
normal is different for everyone. That's why Aetna offers its members wellness solutions for every stage of their health, from fitness programs to information to help manage an illness.
Aetna can help me feel and
stay healthy.
To learn more, go to Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and its affiliates. Health information programs provide general health information and are not a substitute for diagnosis or treatment by physician or other healthcare professional.
October is Century 21 Open House Month. To celebrate, we attempted to contact the guy who decides what holidays go on calendars. After months of research, it turns out no such person exists. In any event, October is still Open House Month. Just mark your own calendars. Go to century21.com, your local Century 21 office, or call 800-C21-GOLD and let our agents put you on the path home. Century 21, the gold standard. Century 21 Real Estate LLC, a Realogy company. Each office is independently owned and operated.
One judge's effort to improve the musical eclecticism of one young lawbreaker has evidently failed.
Andrew Vactor had pumped it up in Urbana, Ohio. He played loud rap through his car speakers, got a ticket. The judge said, I'll cut your fine from $150 to $35. Just listen to 20 hours of Bach and Beethoven and Chopin. But Vactor lasted just 15 minutes, said he didn't have time to go classical. He had to get to basketball practice. He paid the full fine. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
It's the Pumpkin Festival, lots of them this time of year. This one's in Pumpkin Town, South Carolina, Pickens County, this weekend, starts on Saturday. 40,000 people attended last year. Arts, crafts, music, lots of food, probably find a pumpkin pie or two there. There's a special one-day-only Postal Service cancellation stamp in honor of that festival. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Guys, whether or not you'll admit it, this fall season, you need some new clothes. So head to the men's store inside JCPenney, the Dockers headquarters. They've got the best selection of Dockers pants, khakis, corduroys, and jeans, plus everything else you could possibly need to fill the gaps in your fall wardrobe. Dockers belts, wallets, casual shirts, sweaters, jackets, even socks and underwear. They've got it all, and the best part is, it's all on sale at Dockers headquarters. The men's store makes it easy to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
You've waited all summer long, but tonight TV's best night is back. CBS Thursday, after a new survivor.
Work, stay with me.
It's the case that will bring the original CSI team back together again.
I got the first letter.
The season premiere of CSI begins tonight, and from Jerry Bruckheimer, it's the series premiere of 11,000. Jacob Hood knows science can perform miracles.
Playing God has its disadvantages.
I need you to help me save a life.
The series premiere of 11th Hour, after the season premiere of CSI, CBS Tonight.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast, covering all the way from Big Sur on the California coastline, well north of the Canadian border. I'm glad you're listening. Good to have you with us. We've got a lot to talk about today, and only 3 hours to do it. In a moment, Faz Shakir will join me. He's Research Director of the Center for American Progress. Also this hour, we're going to take a look at a couple of powerful websites that can help you as we're just 3.5 weeks away from the really important 2008 elections. Connor Kennedy, the managing editor of Congresspedia, and Election Protection Wiki. Those are two websites. He'll be joining us later this hour and tell us how to use them. Front page story about purging of voter rolls in today's New York Times. It's about time. Next hour, our weekly visit with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. Last week was his birthday, and he whiffed on us, but he'll be with us today. I can't wait. There's a whole new policy that's been enunciated for the Army that includes nation building. That was kind of derided by a candidate named George W. Bush just a few short years ago. And we'll also talk about how John McCain says he knows how to get Osama. Why keep it a secret, Johnny? And there's a startling report that confirms our dark suspicions about the NSA wiretap programs, now legalized with the complicity of many Democrats. Melissa Ngo, who's on our program earlier this year talking about surveillance cameras, she tipped me off to an ABC News report that'll be broadcast tonight about how NSA monitors frequently intercept calls that aren't, you know, like Osama on one end of the line. It's more like a soldier from Iraq calling home and having an intimate, maybe pillow talk conversation with a wife or girlfriend. And these guys sit around and share it among themselves for their own amusement. And if they can do that, what are they doing with your phone calls?
maybe you don't want to go there. 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to call the program. Your call is subject to monitoring by the National Security Administration, because I can't do anything about that. You can email me, also subject to being read by Big Brother. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com. Faiz Shakir joins me now. He is Research Director of the Center for American Progress, co-editor of their Daily Progress Report, and the leader of the live blogging team that did another great job the other night during the presidential debates. That was really good work there, Faiz.
Appreciate it, Peter. We have a lot of fun doing it.
Well, and in a moment we'll get to an element from the debates that did pop out in the live blogging that you did. But first up, I want to single out my hero of the week. His name is Ricardo Urbina, and he is a district judge, a federal judge in Washington, D.C. On Tuesday, he issued the order to release 17 Uyghurs from Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. These men were declared innocent by our own bizarre kangaroo court system 4 years ago, Faiz, and he directed that they be brought to his courtroom in Washington this Friday. And now the Bush administration has appealed it, and that order is on hold. And I really think this is a critical issue to help do something to rectify the damage that Gitmo and Abu Ghraib have done to America's reputation. If we cannot come to terms with these people who have been unjustly incarcerated for 7 years, they were sold into bounty as part of our early efforts in Afghanistan in 2002. And it's just stunning to me that the administration, for no apparent reason here, would intervene to block freedom for these men.
Yeah, these, just to clarify what happened, they were released by, as you said, the district judge's ruling, but then late last night there was a three-judge panel of the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals that overturned it and allowed the granted the administration a stay, and so now their situation of these Uyghurs are pending the stay, and the administration will get to make its argument. So they're in limbo once again. I mean, the simple case here is that all sides, both the U.S. And the Chinese agree that these are not enemies of the United States. Mm-hmm. That these are not people who are terrorists who are threatening to plot or kill Americans. That's all agreed upon. But the other complex part of this is that all sides agree, the United States and the Chinese, believe that these men are enemies of the Chinese government.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're now caught up in a geopolitical war. And we've used, they, our quote-unquote war on terror has been hijacked for political ends. By the Chinese, who said, okay, well, we want to outsource some of our problem people to the United States, and why don't you guys take these and put them in Gitmo? And so we've allowed ourselves to get trapped in this. It shows the whole misguided effort of what's been going on in Gitmo. I mean, we got this great safe haven where no laws apply, and so every country in the world wants to just outsource their problems to Gitmo, and China, we allow China to do that and without with full knowledge and you know, it just stands as one of the marked examples of how much of a farce Gitmo has become and how, why it needs to be shut down.
And, Faiz, we don't know all the details, but we do know that Chinese military officials were permitted to go to Guantanamo Bay and participate in the interrogation of these Chinese citizens who are part of an ethnic and religious minority that is at odds with the government of China.
Right. And, I mean, and that, their big crime is that they're Muslims.
Right. And so, to you know, what did the Chinese interrogators do? Did they use some of our enhanced interrogation tactics or bring some of their own? However it occurred, it's bizarre that we would sub out the interrogation of people to a country that has been known to discriminate against and torture these very kinds of individuals.
Yeah, and now we're making the argument that we can't release them back to China because they'll be tortured there. So of course it makes perfect sense that if we allowed them to come here and interrogate these men, they probably did that because that's what they're looking to do, is really shake these individuals down and try to get some information with them. And we all know how well torture has worked for us, and you know, other countries are employing it. Unfortunately, China is one of them, and we're serving as the model, the example of how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Faiz Shakir with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, speaking of terrorists, there is a connection between a known terrorist and a presidential candidate who has palled around with this known terrorist and accepted campaign contributions from him. And I'm referring to John McCain and G. Gordon Liddy. But the media has been rather uncritical in reporting these smears from Palin and McCain linking Barack Obama to William Ayers, who was in the Weather Underground when Obama was 8 years old. And it really frosts me, Faz, to see that there is no parity here. We don't provide the same kind of examination of the various relationships of Senator McCain, including all the lobbyists who surround him. Yet the media will uncritically pass along Sean Hannity's big focus, which is on Bill Ayers. And the, you know, as the New York Times has pointed out, the connections are very weak between Obama and Ayers, but that doesn't stop the campaign from using it and the media from picking that up.
Yeah, and it just shows you how bankrupt the media is. I mean, this is really the fact that the McCain campaign is using this to some degree effectively against Obama. It is a display of how weak the media has become, because when they had an opportunity to confront each other in the debate, Obama and McCain, mm-hmm. McCain never mentioned it. And if he wouldn't mention it in the debate, I don't think the media is obligated to run or to air these attacks that come from the stump or come from television ads, or web ads, I'm sorry, that they are replaying on TV. They're giving airtime to a smear that McCain will not even broach with Obama himself. And so this becomes incumbent on the media about what it is going to do, and it is decided that it is going to be the merchants of smear and carry this forward where McCain wouldn't even go. So, you know, and as you said, the guilt by association, you can play that game all day long. I mean, yeah. McCain, he's got the ties with Charles Keating, the SNL guy, he's got who went to prison. Mm-hmm. We got G. Gordon Liddy, as you said, and then this U.S. Council for World Freedom, I'm sure you covered that, as far-right group that's, you know, been described by the Anti-Defamation League as a racist and anti-Semitic organization that he was the chair involved in the board with. So, I mean, you can play this game all day long. Ultimately, it comes down to what do you believe about the person, and Obama's been running for 2 years now. He's been on people's TV screens. They know who he is. He's answered all the questions. And so to play this game by the media is just really unfortunate.
Well, and they are inciting hate speech at the rallies, because the comments that McCain and Palin have been making, who is Barack Obama? Who is he really?
And as you said, palling around with terrorists. I mean, they're creating lynch mobs out there. I hate to use such strong language, but that's in fact what's going on. There are people who are using such vile language against Obama. They're saying he's a terrorist, he's a criminal, he's a killer, off with his head. Those are all direct quotes that we've heard just in the past few days from the trail from McCain's rallies, and these are people who are increasingly, from all reports of the media, they're increasingly getting more hostile and vile at these rallies.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Faz, you pointed out that McCain did not raise these issues face-to-face with Obama when he could have in his favored town hall meeting format in Tuesday night's debate. And as I look at this, it's a calculation by the Republicans that with Rush and Sean and Laura Ingraham and the other right-wing talk shows, that they can communicate with their base without allowing that to trickle over into the corporate mainstream media. And so they can spread these viral and virulent smears and lies very effectively to their likely voters. And that's why we see people responding to the bait so readily at these public events, because they've been primed through the he's a Muslim emails and all that kind of trash that has been circulating mostly out of our view.
Yeah, it's a media game that the McCain campaign is playing. I mean, in the days leading up to the debate, how many times did we hear, oh, Bill Ayers is going to be brought up, or will Bill Ayers be brought up, and how will Obama respond to the Bill Ayers accusation once it's brought up, right? That was the commentary leading into the debate. Then the debate happens, no Bill Ayers is mentioned, right? So then we go into the post-debate. Instead of talking about what actually happened in the debate, we talk about, well, why wasn't Bill Ayers mentioned? Oh, but McCain wants to talk about Bill Ayers again, and so here we go again with the same thing. I mean, at some point you would think the media is incumbent upon following what the candidates are actually debating when they have an opportunity to debate one another. And the media should force John McCain to make those accusations in person and to say that we will cover them once you decide that you're going to put your political capital on the line to do this.
Yeah, yeah. The media is really craven in this respect. It's frustrating. We're going to take a break and return with Faz Shakir. Log on to progressreport.org and you can get your very own copy of their daily edition. And if you have a question or comment, lines are open for you. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. As we continue, we'll talk about McCain's Mondale moment in the debate the other night.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Robbins Jewelry in Carmel is open every day for your holiday and gift shopping. Robbins Jewelry is one of a kind, unique, and stylish. She uses sterling silver and semi-precious stones and will customize a keepsake right there on the spot. Robin is a native Carmel artist and silversmith. She's located inside the Dowd Craft Studio at Ocean and San Carlos. Robin has a big selection of organic bling. Great jewelry that's affordable. With free engraving and gift wrapping, go to Robbins Jewelry in Carmel.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Well, we're bouncing off a satellite, but this is radio somewhere, and I am somebody. Radio nowhere. Is there anybody who
We continue with Faz Shakir, Research Director of the Center for American Progress. You've just added a new senior fellow who we talked to yesterday, Van Jones, from here in the Bay Area. Great guy, Faz. Knows a lot about the green economy and social justice all in one package.
He's a great communicator, too. He can explain it in very sharp and interesting ways.
Yeah, indeed. So back in 1984, the Democratic Convention was here in San Francisco, and famously Walter Mondale, in his acceptance speech, said that whether he or Reagan got elected president that fall, that taxes would go up. And his famous phrase was, "He won't tell you, I just did." Now, in the debate the other night, McCain had a couple of surprises. He came out of the box first with a plan to buy up the bad mortgages, something that progressives have been talking about since the Paulson bailout was proposed. And then he weighed in and said that entitlement programs are going to be cut. And it was a loaded question that came from Tom Brokaw, in my opinion. But he proceeded to tell us about cuts that are probable for both Social Security and Medicare.
And he has to do that, Peter. I mean, that's the most important thing here. Is McCain has been all over the map on how he's going to pay for his massive, massive corporate tax cuts. So we're talking $300+ billion that he's going to give to corporations because, of course, they need it. So he's got to pay for that somehow, or he's not. Who knows? He might just run up the deficit, a la George W. Bush. But he said he's not. He said he's not going to run up the deficit. He's going to try to balance his budget. In which case, he said he's going to do a few things. One is engage in a discretionary freeze across the government, which means, you know, we're talking massive cuts on all government programs across the board. Or he said he's also openly talked about cutting entitlements, which is, he said, $1.3 trillion from Medicare and Medicaid to fund his health care plan. He's talked about perhaps cutting into Social Security, privatizing it. And, of course, he'd have to do something to balance the budget and to pay for these massive tax cuts and to keep the war going, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something's got to give, and we have been trying to force him to take a position on this for a very, very long time, and the media doesn't really seem interested in it, mostly because I don't think they understand it.
Mm-hmm. But to be fair, Social Security is not in crisis right now.
That's right.
And McCain talked about, you know, he got wistful about the commission back in the 80s that met at great length and really didn't do that much. And Obama, I think, is remarkably clear about this, that we don't need a commission. All we need to do is raise the FICA cap. And those millionaires and billionaires who are getting bailouts right now can damn well pay FICA tax on their entire income and not cap it off at $95,000 or $96,000 where it is right now.
Right. I mean, Social Security is not insolvent. It's not going to become insolvent for decades. And if you lifted the cap, as you said, you make it solvent for 100 years. So, that would be a wonderful solution. I think there could probably be bipartisan support for it. It would be a good start. I mean, the bigger problem here is Medicare. That's actually more of a crisis. And if you look at the approach that McCain is trying to take, he's openly stating he's going to cut the entitlements. And like I said, he has to some degree. But this is all part of a plan that goes back to 1995 with Newt Gingrich, who openly talked about starving the government, mm-hmm. forcing seniors out of the Medicare program because you cut the amount of funding to it, and quote unquote letting Medicare wither on the vine. This has been a long part of longstanding tradition and plan by Republicans, and John McCain seems to be the guy who's going to deliver on it.
Dana Perino really feeling the pain of the unemployed American, oozing compassion from the podium in the press briefing yesterday. And basically, they're saying that they don't want to extend unemployment benefits, and that's in the best interest of the people who want them, right? Because it'll force them to go out and get a job that doesn't exist.
It just shows how out of touch the White House been. I mean, they've been out of touch from the very beginning, but even through the midst of this crisis, they think that the real problem is, you know, that people just, you know, should just go and find a job. I mean, we're shedding jobs hundreds of thousands a month. We're 159,000 last month. I think we're at 750,000 for the year. So there are not jobs out there. People have been looking for months and months, but yet the White House thinks, oh, these are just lazy people who who just need to get up and go find the job.
Well, hopefully a bunch of them are going to be on the unemployment line come January, and they'll be able to walk a mile or two in those shoes. Faz, thank you very much.
Thanks, Peter.
Appreciate your work. Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress. We'll take a break and return. Connor Kennedy, the managing editor of electionprotectionwiki.org, will join us next and talk about efforts we can take to make sure our votes are counted on November 4th. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Wachovia and by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. Already it's clear this presidential election year of 2008 is one for the history books. But so was the one 40 years ago, in 1968. The Vietnam War was raging when, in March, President Lyndon Johnson won the New Hampshire Democratic primary, but just barely over a maverick senator from Minnesota. Eugene McCarthy.
We raise moral objections to this war.
Who did much better than even he thought he would.
I was afraid that I would show up badly.
McCarthy did well enough for President Johnson to decide.
I shall not seek, and I will not accept, the nomination of my party for another term as your president.
More after this. Wachovia wants to help you thank someone special. Visit wachovia.com thank you to enter the Who Would You Thank contest. Tell us who you want to thank and why, and if selected, your nominee could win a prize valued up to $10,000. Linda, in Merrill's Inlet, wrote, I would like to thank Auburn and Welland for launching 3 nonprofit charities and inspiring people of all ages to volunteer in their community. Who Would You Thank? Brought to you by Wachovia. Contest ends October 10th. Offer void where prohibited. Visit wachovia.com/thank you for rules. Wachovia Bank, N.A., is a member FDIC. Did you know the most common cause of blindness in people 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, or AMD? It begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you're not seeing clearly, by all means see an eye doctor and get checked out right away. Early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. 1968 was the year of assassinations. In early March, Martin Luther King was shot to death in Memphis.
And we as a people will get to the promised land!
Senator Robert F. Kennedy walked in his funeral procession, and in June was himself assassinated after winning the California primary.
My thanks to all of you, and now it's on to Chicago, and let's win there. Thank you.
It was an angry, tumultuous convention in Chicago.
And as long as I'm mayor of this town, there'll be law and order in Chicago.
The nomination went to Vice President Hubert Humphrey.
But you can't vote your anger. You have to vote your hopes. You can't vote your hates. You have to vote your hopes.
Humphrey lost in November to former Vice President Richard Nixon.
Having lost a close one 8 years ago and having won a close one this year, I can say this. Winning's a lot more fun. A teenager held up the sign, bring us together. And that will be the great objective of this administration at the outset, to bring the American people together.
That's how it was in 1968. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Presidential elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes.
3 weeks to go. Are you distracted yet?
Like a game of chess when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie, another song and dance, another poor sucker who never had a chance.
Yes, a reading from the good book of Tim Buck III. Presidential elections, just a distraction. Well, we're in full distraction mode here as the slime is flying, the smears are daily, and we see the desperation of Republicans as the polls head south for them. But do not relax. Do not rest. Do not get complacent because polls, including the one in Pennsylvania that's up 15 points right now, things can shift dramatically. We know about what's called the Bradley effect. It's been widely discussed, and maybe it won't be a factor. But I think we have to be prepared that many of the people who are telling pollsters today they'll vote for Obama will not find that they're able to when they actually sit down to vote absentee or go into the polling place. And likewise, as you well know if you're a regular listener of this program, there are grave concerns about the manner in which our elections are being conducted, and about the broad schemes of Republicans using legal and questionable and illegal tactics to suppress participation by voters likely to vote Democratic. Joining me now is Dave Johnson. He's at the Center for Media and Democracy in that hotbed of liberalism in Madison, Wisconsin, and they have launched an exciting new website called electionprotectionwiki.org. Dave, welcome to our show today.
How are you doing, Peter?
Not too bad. And you?
I'm doing good.
What's a wiki?
A wiki? Well, there's an interesting background for wiki. A wiki is a way to put information into a database on the web that's easy for people to use. But the background of the name is interesting because the guy who invented it, and I don't remember his name right now, he had to come up with a name for it. And he didn't want to call it Quick Web, and he had just been to Hawaii where the airport shuttle was called the Wiki Wiki Shuttle, so he named it a Wiki Wiki Web. See, so there you go, and that, of course, got shortened to Wiki.
See what I learned just from asking a stupid question?
Well, I learned it a week ago, so there you go.
Well, Dave, you're way ahead of me, and I'm happy to concede that. Now, this is a set of very important issues. Give us an overview of the data that are available at electionprotectionwiki.org.
It's also, by the way, at epwiki.org for those of us who are wiki short on memory.
Okay.
The Election Protection Wiki is about providing a central hub for this kind of information in time for the election. So it's not a competing effort with anybody that's out there. In fact, we're gathering what we can, links to everybody out there, and hoping then that people who are looking for information on Election Day can go to this wiki and get what they need right away very quickly and get directed to the right place. And one of the advantages is that the SourceWatch wiki, which this is part of, has a very high Google ranking. So when you search for almost anything to do with the issues on this wiki, it'll come up right there on the first page. People will get directed where they need to go right away. So we're consolidating things from Voters Unite and Election Protection and Common Cause. Everybody else that's looked at the kind of problems, we're gathering all of the Secretary of State information for the states. Everything else that people are going to need on Election Day, we're quickly getting this in to the wiki now.
Okay, now, Dave, one of the things, I've just taken a look at your site for the first time today and haven't attempted to use it yet, but, for example, at Wikipedia, I can go in and doctor up my own biography to eliminate that, criminal, elements of my record that I'd rather not people know about. And so I'm curious, can, say, Karl Rove or somebody who thinks like him come into the Election Protection Wiki and change information or perhaps post false information?
He can do that, and it'll be gone in about 5 minutes because we're keeping a close eye on this.
Good.
Now, let me tell you how this works, because we're hoping people will help us with this. If you're in Colorado and you know something and you look there and it's not there on the wiki, we are hoping you can add it. It's a really easy process, and let me explain how it works, and then I'll explain why Karl Rove won't be successful when he does that.
All right.
You go to the wiki, you get yourself an account. Okay, the first thing you want to do is just tell them, hey, I'm here to do some editing. You put in a name and a password. You don't even need to put any other information. You just need to do that so that you can go in and it'll all be recorded as to this is who did it. On the top of any page you look at, there's a tab that, after you've got, of course, your account, there will be a tab that says Edit This Page.
Mm-hmm.
And to the right of anything on the page, of any section, you'll see the word Edit. If you're looking at the portal right now at epwiki.org, you'll see that tab at the top, and you'll see that Edit thing at the right.
Mm-hmm.
You open that up. It's a simple matter of some very simple instructions. First, you can just type stuff in. Don't worry. You just type a line, another line, another line, and that's how it'll show up if you don't know anything. There's great help available. You look around for where it says help on the left column there, and you can get a lot more sophisticated. But if you just add that, and then at the bottom you type, you click the save button, then all of us are notified that, hey, somebody made a change.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get in touch with you if we can, and help you go from there, but we'll format up the change as well. But we're also going to look at it. We're going to make sure it's sourced. We're going to make sure that it's accurate. So we'll be able to make sure that anybody who's entering some stuff that's kind of fishy or something, that it doesn't stay.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next thing we'll do is, just before the election, we're going to lock down the site. Once we're sure, we've looked at every edit that anybody's made and made sure that they're accurate, we lock down the site so nobody can, so that it's useful on election day for people.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about a new website that's up at the letter E, P, and then wiki, W-I-K-I, epwiki.org. That's the shortcut to the Election Protection Wiki, and there is a lot of great information and links available here. Now, Dave Johnson, I was pleased to see that today's New York Times, Thursday, has a front-page story about the risk of voters being purged from the election rolls without their knowledge. And this is something that was first brought to my attention in August in Denver. I was at the Democratic Convention, and Greg Palast, the investigative reporter, was there, and he and I talked, and he told me that he was very concerned about the purging activities that are conducted in some cases under the auspices of the Help America Vote Act of 2002. And Palast said that he was concerned that as many as one in five voters just in Colorado would be purged and show up and end up voting a provisional ballot, which we know is no guarantee of having your vote count. So in the New York Times here on Thursday, for example, they show that 80% of the people whose names have been removed from the rolls are for an unknown reason. 14% moved out of state, 6% died. But 80% of those purged, there's no reason given. Of the party affiliation, this is kind of interesting, in Colorado, it's 33% Democrat, 35% Republican, but the affiliation of those purged is weighted more heavily to Democrats, 37% to 28%. And it's interesting, too, because the people who are being purged, more than half of them voted in 2004 and 2006. And that's usually an indicator, you know, if you haven't voted for two or three cycles, it's possible that you've died or moved away or moved into, a different precinct. But this is interesting information, and I'm glad to see it in the New York Times. What do you have that mirrors this in other states in terms of purging and, you know, what may have already occurred, Dave?
Well, there seem to be a lot of states that get very concerned that those pesky citizens are going to actually show up and try to vote. Florida's got a good one. It's called No Match, No Vote, where they're running your driver's license info and other info against your voter registration info. And if, like, your name is Dave on one and David on the other, or Robert on one or Robert on the other, you don't get to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you still get to do a provisional ballot, but then you have to prove, I think it's within 2 days or something. So there's a lot of states are doing these kind of restrictive things. Florida is one example. We're seeing it all around. I'm sure a lot of you have heard about one in Michigan where they were taking people who had their homes foreclosed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're doing that in a lot of states, too. And, of course, now that there's the Internet and other ways for people to find out stuff much more quickly, the battles are on to try to stop this in time. Yeah, Colorado is doing that. I think Ohio's tried it, but they have a different Secretary of State now.
That's right. She's a Democrat.
Yep.
Jennifer Bruner.
But, all across the country, this seems to be a major effort. And it seems to be that since each of these is in a state, I'm glad the New York Times had that article because it kind of consolidates what's going on. As I put stuff into the wiki and as other people show up, yeah, we're starting to see this seems to be going on everywhere, but because each one is a local effort, it's not getting the kind of attention it needs. Another one, mm-hmm. I won't say which candidate, and we're a nonpartisan organization, Center for Media and Democracy is, but one of the candidates appears to be mailing absentee ballot applications to people who aren't registered in the other party, and then the absentee ballot applications appear to be geared towards being declined because mm-hmm. they're faulty.
Well, we heard reports of that directly from Madison about 3 weeks ago.
Right, and it's in Wisconsin, it's in Colorado, it's in five or six other states that presidential campaign is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Although, then again, they're all local state things, and so nobody's putting it together that this appears to be a part of a national effort.
Yeah. It's really interesting, Dave. We do a weekly segment with Brad Friedman from Bradblog about voter issues and election protection issues. And last week, we attempted to have a conversation with John Fund. He writes for the Wall Street Journal and is a Fox News contributor, and he has a book out about voter fraud. And he's assembled what appears to be every anecdote in American history where somebody misregistered or double registered or even impersonated a dead person or a live person in order to vote more than once. And I don't deny that that occasionally occurs, but it is not widespread, and that's pretty well known. And Mr. Fund basically sized up the situation and decided to go into attack mode and really wouldn't respond to the questions that we raised about the way this voter fraud is used to suppress participation. Was part of the scandal of the U.S. attorneys, where many of them were instructed to file phony charges of voter fraud against Democrats right in front of an election. And those who didn't, at least some of them, lost their jobs. So it's a very interesting pattern that is quite visible. But before this New York Times story today, much of this has been unreported in the corporate media.
You know, I was just entering something. I'm not sure it's up yet. In Missouri, they felt the need to pass an emergency law where you're required to prove your citizenship before you can register to vote. And so they looked into the whole voter fraud problem there. And they found that, and I think it was 6 years, they found, well, you wouldn't believe how many cases of voter fraud they found. They found one.
Yeah.
Yeah, where one person had both voted absentee and voted at the polling place.
Well, and I just got an alert a moment ago from Brad Friedman here, and he has been covering this week an episode in Las Vegas where the office of Acorn was raided by police officials because they had actually turned in reports showing that some of the voter registrations were defective.
Yeah, they actually turned the reports reports in themselves.
Yes, the reports they turned in were then used as evidence that they were somehow participating in fraudulent registration of voters. And now there is a new case in Missouri that Brad is reporting on just at this moment. So this
hey, if Brad's listening to this, there's a Brad blog page that he can come and edit it this week.
All right.
Or you could.
Okay. Well,
you should set up a Peter B. Collins page.
Well, I'll have to investigate and see if I can manage it in my spare time. We're going to take a break. Dave Johnson will return in just a moment. Visit the website epwiki.org. That's the one we're talking about. And be sure to also go to standingforvoters.org. I don't like to miss an opportunity to remind people to get their favorite candidates to sign on to the pledge not to concede until every vote is counted. More in a moment. Your comments welcome here at 888-5-PETER-B. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Some similar things I noticed moving from Idaho to here. Agriculture, very big here as they're different crops, though. You know, Idaho potatoes, here pot. Pot, probably, and artichokes. Pot and artichokes. Artichoke, that's all blue statey. It's practically a flower, isn't it? It is. But in defense of the artichoke, it has a good defense system. All those spiny things up there, grr. Yeah. It takes a lot of work to eat artichoke, which is a good thing, because when your sister crop is pot, if you're easy to eat, you're gone. Because they won't let you spray for people.
That's comedian Bent Washburn. I'm Richard Stockton with a minute from planetcruise.org.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today, CNN reporter Louise Schiavone aired video of Chicago Tribune columnist Steve Chapman criticizing Senator Barack Obama for his relationship with former 60s radical Bill Ayers.
Ayers is a guy who set off a bomb in the United States Capitol, same Capitol where Barack Obama serves as a senator. I mean, he was a guy who was at war with the American democratic system.
However, Schiavone failed to mention that Chapman has also criticized John McCain for his association with a man Chapman described as McCain's own Bill Ayers, convicted Watergate burglar G. Gordon Liddy. Before raising campaign money for McCain, who Liddy calls a good friend, Liddy spent 4 years in prison for his part in the scandal that led to the resignation of President Richard Nixon and acknowledged plotting murders, kidnappings, and bombings as part of the campaign. And turning to the most outrageous comment of the day, here's radio host Rose Tennant.
I'm going to say this. I don't think you can be a Christian and vote for Barack Obama.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Slow down, you move too fast. Got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon and we'll make the morning last. Right here on KRXA 540.
What you know when I've come to...
Supertramp. It's called Better Days. Barack Obama says better days are ahead. Maybe down the road. And around the bend. We continue here on the PBC show. Dave Johnson with us from the Center for Media and Democracy. And their new website, chock full of information about election protection, is epwiki.com. The letter E, the letter P, and then W-I-K-I, epwiki.org. And right before the break, I mentioned standingforvoters.org and the pledge. And during the break, I checked my email, and Emily Levy informs me that we now have two presidential candidates who've signed on to it, Ralph Nader and Cynthia McKinney. And I appreciate their support of this, and at the same time, I'd like to see Senator Obama sign on to this pledge, learn the lesson that John Kerry bungled. Because if John Kerry had waited, and John Edwards was encouraging him to do so, and if Kerry had not conceded so quickly after the Ohio results in 2004, things could be very, very different. And if you want to look at the forensics of Ohio in 2004, the definitive book is Richard Hayes Phillips' Witness to a Crime. And his website, the only place where you can get the book because no publisher would touch it, witnesstoacrime.com. And it even includes a CD-ROM with hundreds, if not thousands, of pictures of actual ballots, many of which you can see were altered or otherwise defaced. And it establishes sufficiently for me that Kerry did win Ohio and thus the presidency in 2004. And, Dave Johnson, as you look at this picture, the pledge of Stand for Voters, pardon me, standingforvoters.org, is that we don't rush to judgment on election night. Because one of the things that I believe has occurred in these last few cycles is that the media is under such self-imposed pressure to provide a result before the East Coast goes to bed around midnight that they often rush the results. And they leave an impression, like Florida in 2000, that somebody has won when, in fact, they do not have definitive information.
That's right. That's right. The counting process, they say one of the advantages of the machines is that they send the results immediately and you can post them immediately and everybody knows immediately, and that can be a good thing. Of course, that's if they're accurate. Now, if you have a machines that are verifiable, which means that you have a way to double-check that they're right, then that can be a great thing. But I remember in 1980 when Carter conceded, and it was only, there were still 2 or 3 hours left in California, and I remember that California, all of a sudden the voting patterns changed considerably right after that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's one more way that media pressure can affect the voting results as well, and I believe we have some items already on that as one element of voter protection or mm-hmm. election protection.
Now, Dave, one of the other links that I see here right on the homepage is an important set of issues related to exit polls, because that was one of the indicators that we had in 2004 that it was Kerry who won Ohio and not Bush, and other states came in line similarly where the exit polls were in fact accurate, but we saw them pulled very quickly by the media under pressure, I believe, from the Republicans, to prevent giving us that benchmark to compare to. What do we know about exit polling to be conducted this November 4?
You know, I'm not as up to speed as I could be on that particular issue, although I believe it's Missouri. There's some special election or exit polling that's being set up specifically so we can watch this sort of thing, but it's not related to Center for Media Democracy or the Election Protection Wiki. But take a look at this article if you're listening to this at epwiki.org. On the left side as you go down, there's a list of different issue articles, and there will be more, by the way, between now and the election. And by the way, we invite people to come write them. Come take a look at the exit poll article. It's a very good article. I believe Steve Friedman wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Friedman, who wrote the book, Was the 2004 Presidential Election Stolen, with Joel Blythus. He's working with us on this project, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's another one of the editors. So
come
take a look at the exit polling article, although I don't know, to answer your question, of specific exit polling that will be happening for the election.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's one element, too, that you note here about student voting rights. Somebody was passing around on the web today a copy of a phony notice that was distributed in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, if I'm not mistaken, to college students, which basically said that if they voted, their parents might lose the tax deduction for them and that it could compromise them in other ways. This is scurrilous and insidious. And we've got to encourage people, when you find information like that, you've got to check it out. Don't take it at face value. Don't believe it. Go to a place like epwiki.org and click on student voting rights, and it will give you a clear explanation of these issues.
Well, Peter, there's another thing it'll give you, because it's not just in Pennsylvania. This happened in Colorado. It appears to be another one of those tactics that's happening all over the place locally, and until you see that how many different places it's happening before you realize that it's one more effort to keep those pesky citizens, you know, from coming in and exercising their right.
Yeah.
In fact, let me talk a little bit about a bigger overview of this.
There's I'm out of time today. I've run out of time, but I appreciate you joining us. That's Dave Johnson. Go to epwiki.org. It's a new service of the Center for Media and Democracy. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Steve. Or Peter.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Dow plunges 678 points.
How low will it go? This is the limbo contest that you do not want to win.
Oil prices are headed lower, too.
I don't think the price will stay at $80 for too long. I think eventually we're going to wind up back around $40.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It's one unhappy anniversary for the stock market. It was on this day last year that the Dow hit its all-time high, 14,198. Today it closed at 8,579, a difference of 39%. It's the seventh session in a row that stocks have lost ground. Investment advisor Michael Farr doesn't know where the bottom is.
There is a great deal of fear, and there's a great deal of worry on the part of individual investors. And frankly, if you're not somewhat scared and somewhat worried, I would suggest you're not paying attention.
Most of the Dow's losses came in the final hour of trading. A big factor, says CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus, was Standard & Poor's warning that General Motors' credit rating might be downgraded.
This late-day sell-off can also be attributed to the fact that the ban on short selling was lifted today, which means that a lot of the hedge fund traders were able to get back into this market, and that also put downward pressure on the financial stocks, which is what led this sell-off throughout the day.
The credit market remains frozen, and it's becoming clear that even massive government intervention will not produce a quick fix.
Basically, all of these things, from the government allowing the banks to have more money, to the Treasury promising it will do all that it can to keep the banking system solid, is all well and good in the long term. But in the short term, there may really be not much to help the crippled situation, and so Wall Street's trying to come to terms with that.
We're confident in our economy's long-term prospects. We'll get through this deal. And the reason why I'm confident is because you got the most talented and productive workers in the world.
President Bush spoke during a Hispanic Heritage event at the White House. Tomorrow morning, he'll make another statement on the economy. Spokeswoman Dana Perino says he'll reassure the American people that every effort is being made to stabilize the markets. Now this.
You've waited all summer long, but tonight, TV's best night is back. CBS Thursday, after a new survivor.
Watch. Stay with me.
It's the case that will bring the original CSI team back together again.
I got the first let out.
The season premiere of CSI begins tonight. And from Jerry Bruckheimer, it's the series premiere of 11,000. Jacob Hood knows science can perform miracles.
Playing God has its disadvantages.
I need you to help me save a life.
The series premiere of 11,000, after the season premiere of CSI, CBS Tonight.
How to put your energy bill on ice.
Step 1, head to the Home Depot. Step 2, pick up a more energy-efficient Energy Star refrigerator for 10% off. Step 3, open your new energy bill. Voila, much cooler.
Now get 10% off all appliances of $299 or more. And to help save you even more, we've lowered the price on hundreds of items throughout the store. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Ends October 15th, U.S. only. See store for details.
The economy's troubles are depressing oil prices, with some analysts saying we could see a return to $40 a barrel. OPEC, in response, is expected to reduce output. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports.
Even rich oil producers are worried about the economic slowdown. Analyst Phil Flynn.
Demand has fallen off the map, and OPEC obviously is worried because, of course, they depend on those high oil prices.
Analyst Michael Lynch believes OPEC will cut production.
I think so, especially if, as we approach the meeting, the data suggests that demand is shrinking even more than it has been recently, and that inventories are rising.
But energy consultant Jim Ritterbush says you won't likely feel the squeeze.
I could build a scenario in which prices would continue to fall even in the face of an OPEC production cut.
Cammie McCormick, CBS News, New York.
Today, oil fell nearly $2 to $86.62. Wells Fargo's plan to acquire Wachovia for nearly $12 billion got a green light today when Citigroup dropped out of negotiations. It will not challenge the deal in court, but will seek damages for breach of contract. John McCain told supporters in Waukesha, Wisconsin today that his campaign has been written off before. He predicted a win in November. McCain jabbed at Barack Obama on the economy and on his past association with 60s radical Bill Ayers.
We need to know the full extent of the relationship because of whether Senator Obama is telling the truth to the American people or not.
Obama in Dayton attacked McCain's mortgage bailout plan and said voters have to decide what kind of president they want.
Will that president be looking out for banks? Will that president be looking out for CEOs? Or will that president be looking out for the workers, for the families of Dayton, Ohio?
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I'm in the best shape of my life. I run about four,
maybe five push-ups is all I can do.
But for my age, that's
normal is different for everyone. That's why Aetna offers its members wellness solutions for every stage of their health, from fitness programs to information to help manage an illness.
Aetna can help me feel and
stay healthier.
To learn more, go to Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and its affiliates. Health information programs provide general health information and are not a substitute for diagnosis or treatment by physician or other healthcare professional.
October is Century 21 Open House Month. To celebrate, we attempted to contact the guy who decides what holidays go on calendars. After months of research, it turns out no such person exists. In any event, October is still Open House Month. Just mark your own calendars. Go to century21.com, your local Century 21 office, or call 800-C21-GOLD and let our agents put you on the path home. Century 21, the gold standard. Century 21 Real Estate LLC, a Realogy company. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. This is the hour we spend every week talking military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. Scott served in the Marine Corps, retired from the Army at the rank of Major. He will always outrank me. And he helps me understand the wacky world of Pentagon acronyms and policies, too.
Got on a plane in Frisco and got off in Vietnam. I walked into a different world, a past forever gone. Days, the last ones were
dedicate this tune to Carl Jung and the veterans in Humboldt County who held their annual stand down for Vietnam vets over the weekend. And I tip my hat to you. Scott Dick, thanks for joining us today.
It's always a pleasure, Peter.
We missed you last week. Did you have a great birthday celebration?
I did indeed. I had a I hate to say this, a radio-free Thursday.
Good for you. That means you could start drinking at lunch.
Yeah, I didn't, but it meant I could if I wanted to.
Well, Scott, there's a lot to talk about this hour. I want to open up the phone lines for anybody who'd like to join us and talk about the issues we raise or something else related to military and veterans matters. 888-5, Peter B. is our number, 888-573-8372. On Wednesday, the New York Times reported that there is a draft of a new national intelligence estimate that is highly critical of the Bush administration and gives a negative appraisal of the situation in Afghanistan. It describes Afghanistan as in a downward spiral. It casts serious doubt on the ability of the Afghan government to stem the rise in the influence of the Taliban. And it goes on to question Hamid Karzai, our hand-picked leader there, who's running a very corrupt government. And most recently, the Times reported over the weekend that his brother is knee-deep in the poppy trade, the heroin trade, out of Afghanistan. Now, they deny that and basically dare us to prove it, but it's safe to say that Afghanistan is a mess and not likely to get better soon.
Well, Peter, his brother being alleged to be involved in the poppy trade, I mean, what's a few $100 million among friends?
Yeah.
So, of course, that's one way to make money in Afghanistan, unless you're a contractor. I can't see there's much other ways to really engage in a lot of graft and corruption. If it includes government contracting and access to the president, et cetera, but what's a little on the side? Poppy trading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it really shows, number one, that we're playing politics with Afghanistan because they are delaying the release of this national intelligence estimate until after our November elections. And this is occurring, this report from the Times, just a few days after the New York Times also reported a two-page memo or a cable in diplomatic terms. It was probably just a garden variety email, but when it's diplomat to diplomat, it's a cable. Right? So the British ambassador, Sir Sherard Cowper Coles, in Kabul, sent this document to his French counterpart, the deputy ambassador to Kabul, Francois Fitou. And Mr. Cowper Coles is very blunt in his language. He wrote, "The presence of the coalition, in particular its military presence, is part of the problem, not part of its solution. Foreign forces are the lifeline of a regime that would collapse rapidly without them. As such, they slow down and complicate a possible emergence from the crisis." He went on, "Within 5 to 10 years, the only realistic way to unite Afghanistan would be for it to be governed by an acceptable dictator. We should think of preparing our public opinion for such an outcome." Now, this is very direct. And it kind of flies in the face of the talk from the Bush administration, but it underscores the warnings that have been coming, frankly, from both Obama and McCain.
Well, I've been thinking about why you were speaking, Peter, about this Brit and his assessment that all is lost unless we install a dictator. You know, if you look at the history of British foreign policy, you see that a lot. Their idea of subduing colonies was to install the equivalent of a British dictator at the head of every, whether it was India or Malaysia or any place else. And their method of dealing with the local populace created the insurgencies that ultimately kicked them out of the country. So I'm not sure that we should really fall down and say, oh, the Brit is right. We got it. You know, it's a complete failure in Afghanistan and we need to install a dictator. Having given all that, I know that Petraeus is tap dance around funding our troop issues in Afghanistan. And while trying to hold the line on McCain declaring victory in Iraq and moving troops wholescale out of Iraq into Afghanistan, which would be that victory march home in honor that McCain keeps talking about, and I don't know why Petraeus hasn't signed up for it yet, if we're as far along in Iraq as McCain says we are.
Well, you know, the Victory March is funded. It's been on the books. I think there's $25 million for a victory parade in New York just as soon as we can pull it together.
Right. And so McKiernan, the commander in Afghanistan, is pulling his hair out. He needs, at minimum, 20,000 more troops. And when you look at that assessment, those are force protection measures. In other words, those aren't another 20,000 troops that can take the fight to the enemy. And I put that all in quotation marks, Peter. Mm-hmm. You don't think that I'm, you know, John McCain warmonger. That is to protect the troops that they have there so they're not susceptible to this really new and improved Taliban military version, like 3.0.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting some sophisticated help from someplace, and it's probably all the expats from, you know, the old DDR and the old French Foreign Legion and Southern Africa and, you know, Chechnya and all those other places. But they're bringing some real talent with them, and their attacks are increasingly more sophisticated. And when you have that, it's a requirement that you have more forces to do force protection. So when you actually go out and commit an attack, your bases are vulnerable to counterattack, which, you know, you cut the supply lines and you leave them hanging out there. In the meantime, the troops, the support troops, those are soft targets.
Mm-hmm.
They're not combat troops. That's why they're always primed to attack.
Yeah.
So this looks like to me, after reading this report, that they're more about force protection than really, all right, we got 20,000 more troops now. The surge has worked and now we can go and attack. You know, that's not, especially since they're prohibited from going into Pakistan.
Now, Scott, this is not intended as a loaded or a snarky question here, but given the way the Bush administration has managed the occupation of Iraq, with at times more military contractors than troops, not all of them armed, but contractors nonetheless, the headcount is larger than the actual military contingents there.
Absolutely.
And so why, since we are bogged down and we cannot pull out our own troops at the moment from Iraq and send them to Afghanistan, we're tapped out on the stateside, we don't have troops that are rested and ready that we can send into Afghanistan, so why aren't we just calling up our friends at Blackwater and saying, hey, can you recruit more of those ex-South Africans and some of these other soldiers of fortune? Because we're losing our butts in Afghanistan right now.
Well, we know that the leader of Blackwater presented a paper at a conference 2 years ago where he said he could put a combat brigade tomorrow into action wherever the United States government needed it to go. And perhaps that was the 21st century form of warfare, which actually it's about the 14th century form of warfare where you just hire
mercenaries.
Mercenaries, thank you.
Yes. Uh-huh.
To go and take care of, you know, with some leadership from, you know, your local government.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work then, because mercenaries, they work for whoever pays them the most. So if
right.
you want to just shift their allegiance, just pay them more. So that idea wouldn't work. And besides, one brigade, that's like throwing that's like peeing on a forest fire.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't do it. The best that they could do is to bolster the embassy staff or Karzai security or increase security for his brother because, you know, it's dangerous moving all that heroin. So that's the kind of work that they're capable of doing. And they're trigger happy. And we don't have the greatest reputation in Afghanistan right now because we keep hitting those pesky civilians that, you know, what we need to do, Peter, is we need to move all the civilians out of Afghanistan.
Yeah, and tell them to have their wedding somewhere else so we won't bomb them?
Well, just take the civilian populace out of Afghanistan so everybody left, it becomes a free fire zone, and then we can just do what we did in Vietnam. And, you know, if McCain has his way, because he knows how to win wars, he can unleash the military and they can, you know, take the gloves off. As the right-wing nuts are so fond of saying, if we would have let our commanders fight the war, blah, 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 they would have won in Vietnam. Well, let's do it in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
The forcible migration of entire populace may not be too politically correct, but if you want to get the job done, hey, what the heck?
Here's a little more from the New York Times, and I want to be clear that this is now a separate commentary than the draft national intelligence estimate that I referred to a moment ago. And they're quoting now Henry Crumpton, a career CIA officer who last year stepped down as the State Department's top counterterrorism official. He attributed some of Afghanistan's problems to a lack of leadership, both at the White House and in European capitals, where commitments to rebuild Afghanistan have never been met. He was in charge of the CIA teams that entered Afghanistan after 9/11, but he said that he hadn't seen this report. despite that, he said that Afghanistan is bad and getting worse, that officials in Washington are just beginning to wake up to the problem. Quote, it's taken them a long time to realize it, but now they know it's pretty grim. So that's the assessment about Afghanistan. Time for us to take a break here, and we'll return in a moment. If you'd like to talk to Scott Dick or me this hour, lines are open. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Your calls and comments coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill, it's Nick Tanum on duty taking your calls today. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at
624-4955. I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
I'm Amy Carrizosa, a peace officer in Monterey County. On behalf of 19 individual officer associations and the entire law enforcement community, we urge you to elect Todd Hornick, Monterey County Judge. Todd's opponent has never practiced law in Monterey County. While Todd has earned our support through his faithful and diligent efforts on behalf of Monterey County residents every day for the past 14 years, Todd Hornick is clearly the best qualified candidate for Monterey County Judge.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
It's almost time for KidFest, a weekend of interactive games, live entertainment, music, toys, crafts, contests, activities, and hundreds of prizes. It's all happening at the Monterey County Fairgrounds, October 11th and 12th. Meet Winnie the Pooh, Bart Simpson, Simba, the KidFest Bunny, and many more of your favorite characters. And the first 400 kids in line each day get a free KidFest t-shirt. KidFest Saturday and Sunday, October 11th and 12th, from 11 to 4 p.m. at the Monterey County Fairgrounds.
Good afternoon, this is Hal Ginsworth, your KRXA 540 traffic report. Starting in Santa Cruz on Highway 1 southbound, just north of Morrissey Boulevard, we've got a collision. No further details. 21020 Bear Creek Road in Santa Cruz, we've got a downed tree blocking half the road. And last in Santa Cruz, Highway 9 at Redwood Drive, we've got a collision. No injuries reported there. In Monterey, Parker Road at County Road 17, we've got a flood. An irrigation line is flooding the road there. And finally, in King City, Highway 198, just east of northbound Highway 101, we've got a collision. A pole was struck by a vehicle, and the lines are being repaired by PG&E, thereby slowing traffic in the vicinity. We return you now to the PB Collins Show, only on KRXA 5.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking with Scott Dick about military and veterans issues. Lines open for you at 888-5-PETER-B.
The truncheon's thing, the ice is coming, the sun's zooming in, meltdown expected, the wheat is glistening, engines stop running, but I have no fear, cause London is drowning, I live by the river.
That's the late, great Joe Strummer in The Clash. Hard to believe he's no longer with us. I'm Peter B. with Scott Dick, and Scott, this just came in by email. Dear friend, I bring greetings to you from Iraq. I know this letter will definitely come to you as a huge surprise. I am Captain Brian Morgan, a U.S. Marine in the 3rd Battalion, 25th Marine Regiment, which patrols the Anbar province, and he's desperately in need of assistance, and he summoned up the courage to contact me. I'm presently in Iraq, and I found your contact particulars in an address journal. I'm seeking your assistance to evacuate the sum of $10,570,000 U.S. dollars to the States or any safe country. Oh, damn. I thought maybe it was from Nigeria.
Can you forward me that email address? Because I want to see if he could. I know when they redeploy, I can tell him how to hide that in those big buffalo trucks.
Okay. Well, it's funny because they tell you to reply to a certain address at Hotmail, but the email came from zap@u.washington.edu.
See, and often, Peter, American troops stationed in Iraq use Washington University, University of Washington email addresses because they can't get their own military address. I mean, how stupid. And, people respond to those, Peter, and they give them money, and they're just, like, amazingly stupid Americans.
Yeah, I gave them $10,000, and they're going to soon give me the $10 million. I just know. Let's go to Brian, listening in Manchester, New Hampshire, to the live stream at peterbcollins.com. Hey, Brian.
Yes, hi, Peter. I just talking about the Afghanistan war, I think the British, diplomats there and the military leaders there that are stationed in Afghanistan, actually, they made some good points. But the thing is, the thing that started all of this, it was the September 11th attacks. I still got my doubts about what happened on that day. I think it's the worst day in our history. Because of the civilians that were targeted there, even at Pearl Harbor, the Japanese targeted military targets. But the what happened, in Afghanistan, when we need media reform too to have common sense come back to this country about that war in Afghanistan. It can't ever be won, really, and Iraq cannot be won, really, either. We bribed the Iraqi resistance in the Anbar province for going back to.
Wait, Brian, hold on. The surge has worked. McCain said so right there on television.
Well, I can pay the mob a lot of money to stop them from killing people associated with my business, I guess, for protection money, they call it, to stop them from using violence. But that's still bribery. And the fact they have, there's like Berlin walls all over Baghdad.
That's right. Ethnic cleansing is the real reason that violence has subsided.
And we need media reform in this country, something like the Fairness Doctrine, to come back to have an honest debate about Afghanistan, or else we'll never be out of there, I don't believe. It was the starting point of our war on terrorism. What does Scott think about that?
Well, all we have to do is if you just go back into history and read the previous campaigns in Afghanistan. And it is a country that is famous. All smart military scholars know it's a country that has not successfully been invaded and occupied and held.
Right. Going back to Alexander the Great.
Right, but Bush and Cheney are much smarter than anybody else who's ever been in the history.
But somehow these anti-communist statesmen avoided the Vietnam War, though, of course, and they managed to, but they know everything in military and how to solve such conflicts, but Right. It's just beyond me. I think we need media reform, really, to get the corporatist news media that we have in the major television media. They make so much money from the war, the war industry and the terrorism security industry, that I don't think they're going to want to call off this Afghanistan war and occupation for decades.
Let me interrupt you for a second. What do you think of a candidate, a presidential candidate, who says, I know how to win wars, and I know how to get Osama bin Laden, and yet he has not shared that information with the proper authorities, so perhaps...
Hey, come on, you don't telegraph your intentions.
When do you, as a leader of the free world, as a national security policy expert, when do you share that knowledge? I know how to get Osama bin Laden, and I will get Osama bin Laden. I find it humorous.
Trust me. Trust me, my friends. Trust me. Thank you for the call, Brian. We'll continue with Scott Dick in just a moment. Your calls, comments, welcome. 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show from San Francisco.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
My country, my banker. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Earlier this week, the government started lending directly to companies to help them meet payroll. Then it cut interest rates to banks. And today, it will start buying shares of banks outright. Even the Wall Street Journal likes this, although they would prefer that we not call it nationalization. And now, Nancy Pelosi wants another $150 billion on top of all this, on top of the bailouts of AIG, the Fannies, et cetera, which has a lot of Americans asking, what about bailing out my Fannie? Teachers especially, because states are talking about school cutbacks to make ends meet. I saw an op-ed by a middle school teacher named Jesse Hagopian, who wrote that everyone now knows the government can come up with a gazillion dollars to address a national problem if it's deemed serious enough. Now, Jesse, you can't be suggesting they do the same for education. If this was an education bailout, that'd be just throwing money at the problem. You can't just throw money at the schools, you have to work smarter. Yeah, I wonder what would happen if we just told the bankers to work smarter before we hand them any more money. And explain this. When striking teachers shut down a school, they get scolded for being lazy and greedy and short-sighted. And the last thing you want to do is give them the money they're demanding. But when banks go on a credit strike and threaten to shut down an entire country, perfectly understandable, let's bury them in money. Which is why my advice to schools like Jesse's is that they quit whining, get busy, and reorganize themselves. As banks. Now this.
No one knows what women want better than New York Times best-selling author Fern Michaels. Her best-selling Sisterhood series is no exception. These savvy ladies always entertain as they find the most unusual ways to exact sweet revenge. Now you can celebrate the sisterhood all year long with five new Fern Michaels novels of women at their take-no-prisoners best. Collateral Damage, Fern Michaels' new sisterhood novel, is on sale now. No one does payback quite like the sisterhood.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire Cornucopia Landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or a consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hambly, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
A little different from Sean Hannity's America. News just arrived that Fox News has announced that Sean Hannity's doing such a bang-up job, they're going to give him a raise and a more prominent role after the election. Give us a break, will you? We continue our conversation with Scott Dick about military and veterans issues. You can join the chat toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Pamela in Monterey listening on KRXA. Welcome.
Hi. I have not talked to you at all, and I have been calling. I only found out about this station at KRXA about a month ago.
Best kept secret in the West.
Yeah, pardon?
Best kept secret in the
yes,
West.
Yes, it is. And I really love Scott's show, too. I think that might have been him that was on the phone for me. I don't know. But I want to ask you both a question. I get so tired of not knowing what is the real truth or what is happening over there in with this war. I want to know what is this war about. And I just want to know. I have some ammunition when people tell me I don't know what I'm talking about or such. Mm-hmm. I would like to know what do we know about what this war is really about.
And which war? Afghanistan or Iraq?
I'd like to know both because I have my own ideas and I listen to the Democrats, but I don't really know. I'm learning now for the first time what's really, really going on. And mm-hmm. I would say Iraq first, and then what is this with Afghanistan and Pakistan? I really don't know. I feel uninformed. And I think I speak for a lot of just, you know, basic people mm-hmm. who aren't really aware. I feel like it's about oil, but I don't know what that's about.
All right, Pamela, it's a good baseline question. Scott, you want to go first on Iraq?
Well, we, all other considerations aside, we used the Bush doctrine, the preemptive strike against countries that might do us harm, and we attacked, we invaded. We attacked and invaded and are occupying a country that did us no harm. So everything else was a smokescreen. And the only thing that's left, Peter, that's the kind of oops mistake that you make and then you get out as fast as possible. The mm-hmm. only thing that could adequately describe why we're still there after 5 years, longer than World War II, is because of oil and the controlling oil assets.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that makes sense. If you whittle down everything, they talk about democracy, it's a crock of, you know what? They talk about all those other things that didn't exist. They're figments of the neocons' imaginations.
Mm-hmm.
What's still left and what is our desire is oil.
And Pamela, I would just encourage you to take a look at the value of stocks in the oil sector and in the military sector. And those are the two categories that have benefited the most from the decisions by the Bush administration to commit U.S. forces there. And I do believe it's about oil. And it's interesting, Greg Palast once advanced the theory, this was about 3 years ago, as I recall, that it was about keeping Iraqi oil off the market because the reduction in supplies there, and they're almost back up to pre-war levels now, but in the last 3 or 4 years, they weren't producing much oil, which put pressure on the world supplies, and it drove up the spot price over $100. It's now back in the $80 range right now. And part of that escalation was due to the falling dollar. So I don't want to make it out entirely as the crisis premium, but in oil terms, that's what occurred because of the instability of supplies from the Middle East. We saw the spot price go up rather dramatically over the last 2 years.
But, Peter, I have to interject that one of the reasons
that the dollar has fallen so much so far and so and steadily stayed down is because of the inordinate amount of money we're printing to stay in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Europeans aren't stupid, or currency traders aren't stupid. They know even though Bush has kept the cost of the war in Afghanistan and Iraq off the books, they know it's there. And they know that we're selling treasury notes hand over fist trying to finance this.
Well, what is the reason that our gas is suddenly dropping? I know the summer is over. I know the holidays are over. But it seems awfully funny to me that Barack has been on there talking about all of the things that we need to change in energy and all of those things. All of a sudden, we've got this huge drop in price of oil.
Well, Pamela, I think that the oil executives looked around and they said we reached the extreme of elasticity in the price of gasoline in the United States. And they have dialed back in self-interest because over the course of the summer, people started consuming less. One example, the Highway Trust Fund that John McCain wanted to take a summer break from, it showed a sharp reduction in inflows because it is based on the number of gallons sold, not the price per gallon. And so the number of gallons sold in the United States did drop enough to show a considerable drop-off in contributions to the Highway Trust Fund.
So, Peter, some 5 billion miles have not been driven this year as opposed to last year.
That's right.
But if
so
it's an oil fund, how are we ever going to get out from under it?
Pamela, they also saw that they were bringing our economy to its knees. And they have backed off. They haven't dropped it below $3.
No.
In the Bay Area now, it's about $3.50 for a gallon of unleaded. So that certainly is part of the package. Now let's turn to your question about Afghanistan.
Yes.
They did make the case that Al-Qaeda had set up a headquarters in Tora Bora in Afghanistan, and that the Taliban government was harboring them. And based on Bush's black and white comments after 9/11, you're either with us or against us, he was able to persuade the United States and, in some cases, large portions of the world community that it was justified for us to respond to the 9/11 attacks by invading Afghanistan and attempting to dismantle Al-Qaeda. Now, we need to understand the history there that Osama bin Laden first went to Afghanistan as part of the Mujahideen that we orchestrated and paid for to destabilize the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan in the 1980s. And so, you know, there is some coziness there that we don't know all the details of. But it's fair to say, I believe, that we wandered from our mission, never did achieve either getting Osama and capturing him or killing him, and never did dismantle Al-Qaeda. We allowed it to fester and to continue to grow, and we also didn't deal with the leadership of the Taliban, which was created really in Pakistan as a way to kind of seal up with a friendly group their flank on the Afghan side of the border, because Pakistan's much more worried about India than about Afghanistan, and they just wanted to kind of build a fence there and buy some peace. So we have a great deal of responsibility for the problems in Afghanistan, and whether you take the approach that we, you know, should have put more troops in there and finished the job, that's one case that can be made. And the other is that we're never really going to complete the mission, and we should dial back our presence in Afghanistan and limit it to strike forces aimed at the terrorist groups, not try to control the entire country. Scott, your turn.
Well, that's, you said everything, Peter. I mean, that's a pretty good assessment and analysis of where we are now.
And why is President Clinton blamed for what happened over there? They seem to say that he had some fault in where we ended up in war there.
Of course, because but you notice he's been blamed for everything, the economy, gas prices,
right,
the meltdown.
But what did he do?
It's ridiculous, and you can just reject that out of hand. You can say, well, let's see, now, Clinton wasn't president in 2001 or 2002 or 2003 when we invaded Iraq and Afghanistan. So.
Well, but Pamela, the one thing that does ring true, Michael Scheuer, who is a former CIA officer who ran the bin Laden desk for several years in the overlap of the Clinton and Bush administrations, he claims that Clinton did have an opportunity to essentially assassinate Osama bin Laden. I believe it was in 1998, and that because he was distracted by the Lewinsky affair and other issues, that ultimately he did not authorize the strike.
Do you believe that?
That's hindsight. And, you know, at that point, Clinton did know that Osama had links to the 1993 bombings, but this was before the attacks on the coal and the North African embassies. So it required, you know, some sort of a leap of faith, and in some cases we're rewriting history here, to say that Clinton should have but did not take out Osama at that time.
I see. And do you believe that that's true, that what they said about the Lewinsky and all that, and he just ignored it?
I don't think he ignored it, but the way it's described is he and his top national security officials dithered over whether to pull the trigger or not, and ultimately decided not to.
And do you think that's true?
I can't say. I wasn't there. But I repeat to you the reports from what I consider to be reliable
sources.
Well,
I thank you, gentlemen, very much. I appreciate all your input. Thank you.
Great to have you listening. Thank you, Pamela. Now, Scott, let's talk about General Petraeus, because he is now the CENTCOM commander, and he issued a statement this week speaking at the Heritage Foundation, where he kind of countered one of the talking points of McCain and Palin and Bush, countering Barack Obama, who has said that he would talk to adversaries like the leaders of Iran. He's never said he would do it without preconditions, but that's the way it's played back when it's an attack point. And here is General Petraeus, quote, "You have to talk to your enemies."
Well, I'm surprised that he did, because he's like a monument of bootlicker. And this is what McCain has been saying. He hasn't said to use the word talk. He's used the word negotiate. And that has a much more, that has a bigger meaning, I want to use the word insipid for the right wing, for the base. You know, well, like, he wants to negotiate with our enemies. He wants to negotiate with terrorists. That's not what Senator Obama said. He said talk, which is a whole different deal.
And excuse me, he's also vilified by Palin and McCain, and McCain brought it up in the debate on Tuesday night, for telegraphing his intentions. And what he did was he responded to a question in a debate that was based on a hypothetical. And, you know, he I thought, framed it very carefully, saying that if we have good intelligence of where Osama or other al-Qaeda leaders are, and we ask the Pakistanis to deal with it, and they fail to or choose not to, that he then would take action unilaterally. And I think that's a defensible position in many respects, but McCain has tried to distort it and twist it into characterizing Obama as an appeaser and somebody who would negotiate from weakness.
Well, he said that he would invade Pakistan. He's calling for the invasion of Pakistan. And yet the vaunted military and the CIA that John McCain just cannot get enough of has been doing exactly that. So my question would be, and, you know, that's Tom Brokaw's job, is to say, Senator McCain, there have been several U.S. attacks into Pakistan against high-valued al-Qaeda targets. Would you repudiate those attacks in the future, or would you demand that they cease and desist?
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, we don't get an honest question like that from McCain.
No, we don't. We don't. All right, Scott, we'll take a break and come back and talk about some comments Cindy McCain has made that have offended some people, including Scott there. We'll continue with that in just a moment. And if you have a call or comment, bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's 13 minutes in front of the hour.
KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon. This is Hal Ginsberg with your KRXA 540 traffic report. Starting in Hollister-Gilroy, we've got on San Felipe Road at Highway 152 a hazard dog running onto the roadway. In Monterey County, Highway 101 southbound at West Laurel Drive off-ramp, a hazard reported on Highway 1 southbound just north of Reservation Road. There's a traffic hazard. It's an ice chest, apparently in the fast lane. And in King City, Highway 198 just east of northbound U.S. 101, We've got a vehicle that struck the pole there, causing some power lines to sag. PG&E is on site. In Santa Cruz County, Highway 1 southbound, just north of Morrissey Boulevard, we've got a collision there, slowing traffic. And finally, at 21020 Bear Creek Road in Santa Cruz, a fallen tree blocking half the road.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, for reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
And protect your investment. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate. Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Coming up on the Peter B. Collins Show next hour, we lead off the free speech zone with a report from Melissa Nago. She is a privacy attorney who's been on our program before. ABC Television reports tonight some of our suspicions confirmed that the NSA wiretaps aren't just to find out who's calling Osama. We'll get you the lowdown coming up about 15 minutes away here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans matters. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. And, Scott, you had one more thing you wanted to add about General Petraeus and the way he plays politics.
Yeah, generals are not supposed to be politicians, but yet they are. They would be generals. And McKiernan has come out and said he needs 20,000 more troops in Afghanistan. And, of course, since Petraeus is just changing command, he's going to use that as cover, and they're going to go into a several-month-long phase of assessments, including all 19 nations or 14 nations, whatever he supervises, to do an assessment before they make any commitments. Well, you do the math, it's after the election.
Mm-hmm.
And to say anything else, to admit that McKiernan is right, that he needs those 20,000 troops immediately, would basically confirm what's been leaked about the NIE and admit that we're losing, and Petraeus would never do that.
Yeah, he is a highly political figure, there's no doubt about it, and on the one hand, he occasionally busts through with things that are not White House talking points, but in the big picture, he has delivered for the White House, and he was chosen to be the commander in Iraq and then promoted to CENTCOM because he supported the so-called surge.
I expect in 6 months, they're going to give him 6 months to cool off, and then they're going to get rid of him if Senator Obama is elected as president.
Mm-hmm. So, Cindy McCain has come out swinging. She's been giving some comments at stump speeches over the last few days. And what's the one that really ticked you off there, Scott?
Well, I'm surprised, Peter. I did not know this kind of training existed, and I'm sure that the other services, the Army, the Air Force, and the Marine Corps, will be quite upset to know that PTSD is a result of training. So she was asked about her husband after his POW days, to what extent is that still with you, or is it part of history? McCain, my husband would be the first one to tell you that's in the past. Certainly it's a part of who he is, but it doesn't dwell on it. It's not part of a daily experience that we experience or anything like that, but it has shaped him. Blah, blah, blah. It has made him the leader that he is. But no cold sweats in the middle of the night? Oh, no, 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 no. My husband, he'd be the first one to tell you that he was trained to do what he was doing. The guys who had the trouble were the 18-year-olds who were drafted. He was trained. He went to the Navy Academy. He was trained United States Naval officer, so he knew what he was doing. That implies that everybody who has PTSD just didn't get the right training, Peter.
Yeah.
And that's a crock of crap, and she's just showing her elitist sort of, not even elitist, this ignorant kind of...
Well, and also, you know, it's amazing the way they spin his POW experience, because not everyone who was there at the Hanoi Hilton coughed up information the way John McCain did. And we know from recent accounts, including a powerful story in the current issue of Rolling Stone, that McCain, early on in his custody, his captivity, told his captors who he was and who his influential father, the admiral in charge of the Pacific, was. And so early on, he was identified by the Viet Cong as a big fish, as a major prize that they had in captivity. And we know that in certain cases, when he was tortured, that he gave up some information. I don't know how valuable that might have been.
Well, he signed a confession. Peter, just let me correct you. He was held by the NVA, the North Vietnamese Army, not the Viet Cong.
Okay.
But that's, it makes a difference. They were supposed to be professional soldiers. But once the leader of North Vietnam died, then that torture stopped.
Mm-hmm.
What was his name? I can't remember. Not a blank.
Yeah, let's think back. Vietnam, North Vietnam.
Ho Chi Minh.
There we go. Yeah, they named Saigon after him.
Yeah, Ho Chi Minh. So, yeah, once Ho Chi Minh died, the cooler heads prevailed and they stopped torturing their captive pilots.
Mm-hmm.
But this is ridiculous. I think she's lying, frankly, and the fact that they won't release his medical records are a pretty good indication of they're not telling us something about the drugs he takes or his medical condition or anything else. And to say that is an insult to everybody. And I'm sure if that's true, then, you know, I would be really pissed at the Navy to know that they have the training it takes to defeat PTSD. They're just not sharing it with anybody.
Mm-hmm. Scott, I wanted to ask you a little bit more. Something we discussed 2 weeks ago is this article from the Army Times, which describes how the 1st Brigade has been given duties to patrol in the United States. And this was escalated a little bit because during the debate over the bailout bill, Congressman Brad Sherman, a Democrat from the Los Angeles area, he represents Sherman Oaks, gave a speech in what's called special orders, and that's when you're allowed to go to the podium after Congress has concluded its session. C-SPAN often covers these speeches, and Sherman gave a speech that has been archived at YouTube, and I encourage people to go watch it, where he said that some members of Congress were told that if they voted against the bailout in the first round, that was a week ago Monday, that martial law would be declared in this country. Now, we have not been able to corroborate that from other sources, and because of the Jewish holidays, Brad Sherman hasn't been available for us the last few days. We're still trying to schedule him on the program, because I would like to hear him talk more about that. But it certainly, raised some hairs on the back of my neck that this is not just speculation among paranoid lefties, that the Bush administration at least has contemplated the use of American military forces in our own country to impose or enforce martial law.
Yeah, I find that just so egregiously corrupt by Bush and Cheney to even have that discussion. I mean, it's one thing to plan with bank failures and everything else and to talk about how to, you know, there could be disturbances, but these are people trying to get their money. They're not criminals. And to have that discussion with law enforcement officials, that has nothing to do with the 1st Brigade of the 3rd Infantry Division.
Mm-hmm.
That has to do with local police forces who may be called on to handle people who are terrified of ending up with nothing. That's a whole different deal than declaring martial law.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting, and I think that anyone in the Joint Chiefs or in the military chain of command that signed up for that should get kicked out of the military.
Got a caller on the line. Gina in Salinas has been watching television. Hi, Gina.
Yeah, I just flipped it on, and Lou Dobbs was on, and they're having a survey. It says, are you worried that left-wing radicals are going to manipulate the election?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now, we should call in and tell them, because of fairness, they should ask, is anybody concerned that the right-wing are?
Well, yeah.
But that's Lou Dobbs. I mean, what do you expect from him? He's a nut.
I know it. I just saw that, and I knew you were there, and I just thought y'all might like to know that.
Well,
yeah,
Gina.
Thank you. I turn him on because if I'm not disgusted enough in one day, Peter, I turn him on so I get my full measure of disgustedness.
Thank you, Gina. Thank you, Scott Dick. Scott, what's on the Scott Dick Show on Thursday night?
Oh, lots of stuff, Peter.
Well, I know you got an hour to figure it out.
Right-wing nuttery. That's what I do.
Thank you, Major. Always a pleasure.
You're welcome, Peter.
All right. That's Scott Dick. There he goes. Have your overseas phone calls been intercepted and played for the amusement of Big Brother? We'll lead off the free speech zone, exploring that next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. One market analyst says it's like Groundhog Day. Stocks fell for the seventh session in a row, the Dow losing 678 points on the anniversary of its all-time high. In a year, it's down 39% from 14,164 to 8,579. Who's to blame?
Credit markets remain frozen, and Wall Street seems convinced a global recession is on the horizon.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus. Wall Street's fear is fueled by uncertainty. Economics correspondent Anthony Mason.
For the U.S. economy, this is all uncharted territory.
There is a lot of uncertainty as to exactly how long this situation persists and what exactly will get us out of this in terms of the financial markets and therefore their effect on the economy.
The market's year-long slide has brought down some of the biggest blue chips. GE, Boeing, and American Express have all seen their stock values cut by more than half. General Motors stock fell below $5 a share today, a level not seen since the 1950s.
Standard & Poor's issued a warning that its credit ratings for GM and Ford could be downgraded. President Bush plans another statement on the situation tomorrow morning. The White House says he'll assure Americans that they should be confident the government has all the necessary tools to address the problems we're facing. The price of oil fell nearly $2 today, down to $86.62 a barrel, and as the world economy slows, many analysts expect the slide to continue. OPEC has a meeting next month, and Michael Lynch of Strategic Energy and Economic Research expects a production cut.
I think so, especially if, as we approach the meeting, the data suggests that demand is shrinking even more than it has been recently and that inventories are rising.
Even with less oil on the market, Lynch says the price could fall back to $40 a barrel. That means lower gasoline prices. More sharp rhetoric from the presidential candidates today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that story.
In dueling Midwest rallies, Obama and McCain went after each other. Obama in Ohio saying McCain first called the economy fine, then broke off his campaign to fix it, now keeps changing his proposals.
I don't think we can afford that kind of erratic and uncertain leadership in these uncertain times.
McCain in Wisconsin got more personal, raising the issue of Obama's connection to a professor who was a 1960s radical.
Senator Obama said he was just a guy in the neighborhood.
We know that's not true.
He also assailed Obama's, quote, radical position supporting abortion rights. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Washington.
There's word that a new intelligence report says Afghanistan is on a downward spiral into violence and chaos.
It doesn't appear to be a lost cause just yet, but if things don't change, and fairly soon, there's a good chance that the U.S. and NATO-led mission in Afghanistan could, in fact, fail.
CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland says as much as 80% of the Afghan economy is based in the opium trade. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your gas gauge.
Oh, my needle is asleep.
What's wrong, gas gauge?
For some reason, I haven't been moving.
Oh, well, that's probably because I got the Works Fuel Saver package at the dealership.
Oh.
Yeah, it's an oil change, tire rotation, and more, just $29.95 or less after a $10 mail-in rebate.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to stop for a sandwich. Do you want anything?
No, thanks. I'm full.
Oh, good one.
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fee extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for rebate details through 11-30-08.
This weekend is your chance to celebrate your love at the Zales Columbus Day Sale and Clearance Event. Now through Monday, get special savings of up to 60% off throughout the store on our most beautiful collections. It's the perfect time to find the perfect gift for the one you love. Up to 60% off select items at the Zales Columbus Day Sale and Clearance Event. Now through Monday at Zales and Zales.com. America's Diamond Store since 1924.
If you're convicted of a crime, you have to face the music. Or not. CBS News correspondent Dave Barrett has the story.
Andrew Vactor had pumped it up in Urbana, Ohio. He played loud rap through his car speakers, got a ticket. The judge said, I'll cut your fine from $150 to $35. Just listen to 20 hours of Bach and Beethoven and Chopin. But Vactor lasted just 15 minutes, said he didn't have time to go classical. He had to get to basketball practice. He paid the full fine. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
A man who'd had too much to drink stumbled off a bus in Gaithersburg, Maryland, and walked into a house he thought was his. When the owners arrived later, they found him sound asleep in their bed. When police woke him up, the intruder was irate until he realized he was in the wrong place. Then he apologized profusely and even complimented the couple on their comfy bed. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
You've waited all summer long, but tonight TV's best night is back, CBS Thursday, after a new survivor.
Work, stay with me.
It's the case that will bring the original CSI team back together again.
I got the first let out.
The season premiere of CSI begins tonight, and from Jerry Bruckheimer, it's the series premiere of 11th Hour. Jacob Hood knows science can perform miracles.
Playing God has its disadvantages.
I need you to help me save a life.
The series premiere of 11th Hour, after the season premiere of CSI, CBS Tonight.
How to put your energy bill on ice. Step 1. Head to the Home Depot. Step 2. Pick up a more energy-efficient Energy Star refrigerator for 10% off. Step 3. Open your new energy bill. Voila! Much cooler.
Now get 10% off all appliances of $299 or more. And to help save you even more, we've lowered the price on hundreds of items throughout the store. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Ends October 15th. U.S. only. See store for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Call the Peter B. Collins Show this hour. We call it the Free Speed Zone. All my lines are open for you right now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. This disclaimer... Your calls are subject to interception by the National Security Agency, and tape recordings of your calls may be traded around among the monitors for their amusement. Big Brother is listening, and Big Brother is amused. If you're a regular listener to this program, you know that your humble host is deeply concerned and heavily outraged By the rollback in our constitutional rights under the illegal monitoring program imposed by the Bush administration before 9/11, and it certainly flourished after 9/11. In the summer of 2008, the illegal actions were legalized, with immunity granted to the telephone companies and to the government officials who colluded with them to violate your Fourth Amendment privacy rights without probable cause or due process. ABC News reports today, Thursday, based on a new book by my friend, investigative reporter Jim Bamford, that some whistleblowers have surfaced from the National Security Agency, and the reports are troubling because they confirm some of our suspicions that the monitoring is not limited to alleged terrorists, that it's not necessarily based on investigative leads that say, well, let's tap this phone line for a few days and see what's going on there. It appears much more widespread, and those who are conducting the surveillance, at least as described in these reports, have a shocking lack of professionalism. Melissa Nago returns to our program today. She's an attorney, and she runs the website privacylives.com. Lives or lives? How do you say that, Melissa?
It's Privacy Lives.
Privacy Lives, and that's privacylives.com. She was on our program earlier this year talking about surveillance cameras that have popped up in many American cities in an article that she'd written about that. Melissa, first, thank you for tipping me off to this, and tell me what your reaction was when you saw the news of this report from ABC.
Well, I was horrified but not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not surprising at all that there would be more abuse and overreaching of surveillance powers. We've seen it time and time again, and it especially happens when there is no oversight.
Yeah.
And as Congress has proved, it will not grant actual oversight, investigation into what is going on. It will not protect Americans.
Mm-hmm. And I want to offer one thought of compassion for the people who sit there in at the NSA headquarters or maybe other locations around the world and wear headphones during their work shift and have to monitor all kinds of drivel. I mean, if somebody intercepted 98% of my phone calls, you would be terribly bored. You would say, God, you know, when's this guy going to do something wrong so we can actually, you know, turn him in? And so it's tedious work, looking for needles in huge haystacks. And, you know, I have some sympathy for the kind of boredom that would set in. And if I had a job like that, and I heard a juicy call, I might nudge the person in the cubicle next to me and say, hey, get a load of this one. But that's unprofessional, and it's not part of the mission as it's had, been described by the president and the defenders of the wiretap programs. Now, Melissa, give us a couple of examples of these violations here where we know from the whistleblowers that they passed around or at least let other people click in to listen to what were clearly private conversations that had nothing to do with terrorism whatsoever.
Well, I mean, obviously, the federal government, President Bush, they've been pushing these warrantless wiretap programs, saying these are highly targeted. It is only going to be terrorist suspects who are being listened in upon. This is not about innocent Americans. And yet, the whistleblowers have come out and said it's about innocent Americans. Even though these are military officers, they are journalists, they are relief workers whom everybody knew weren't criminals, they were still listened in upon. Their conversations were still transcribed and put down. And these are very intimate conversations. They involve phone sex. They involve conversations about health. They involve conversations about what you're going to do with your kids. All of these conversations that would happen if you were in another country calling home to check in on your family.
Mm-hmm. So one of the intercept operators, former Navy Arab linguist David Murphy Falk, age 39, said he and his fellow intercept operators listened in to hundreds of Americans picked up using phones in Baghdad's Green Zone from late 2003 to November of 07, calling home to the U.S., talking to their spouses, sometimes their girlfriends, sometimes one call following another, said Falk. The accounts of the two former Intercept operators who've never met and didn't know of the other's allegations provide the first inside look at the day-to-day operations of the huge and controversial terrorist surveillance program. And so if we have these examples, Melissa, isn't it fair to extrapolate that conversations, for example, between leaders of the Democratic Party in this country, maybe about their response to the Wall Street crisis and their plans for the bailout, maybe about election issues related to how they're going to run campaigns and, you know, what kind of nasty commercials they're planning to run against a Republican opponent. We cannot be sure, based on these revelations, that these monitoring programs are being conducted even within conformity to the loosened law that's now in effect.
We can't be sure because there is no oversight. We don't know what's happening. We're sold these terrorist surveillance programs saying it's about the terrorists, it's about protecting you. But then you step back and you find out that it's not about that. It involves innocent Americans. How exactly does it stop terrorism or protect national security to listen in on phone sex between one individual who's innocent calling home to America to another individual who's also innocent? That is not protecting our country.
Well, and I believe that we have well-defined privacy rights. And let me just make up an example here. Let's say a soldier gets on the phone from the Green Zone in Iraq, calls home, talks to the wife and kids, hangs up, and then decides to call his mistress or girlfriend or former lover or something like that. Now, it's not our business. And it has nothing to do with the security of the United States or any possible terrorist activities. Yet that individual may have his or her privacy rights deeply violated and never even know it.
That's completely true. I mean, and we've seen this before. We have seen this kind of abuse of power and overreaching in surveillance powers before. Everybody remembers the COINTELPRO scandal of the 1960s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI used their investigatory powers to investigate and harass their political opponents, the NAACP librarians. And we look at this and we realize it just keeps happening more and more. After all, this just doesn't go away. It didn't just happen in the 60s and 70s and then it went away. Just this week, yesterday, the Maryland police came out and admitted that, oops, they mistakenly labeled 53 political activists as terrorists, put that in the state and federal terrorism databases, and these people who've done nothing wrong, they've gone out and they've exercised their free speech rights, have been labeled terrorists and put into databases. You can see how easily it is to overreach with power when there's no oversight.
Well, and it's also possible, given the same scenario I offered, for these intercepts to be transferred to somebody's personnel file, to a confidential file for an unrelated investigation. There are many ways, once these calls are intercepted, emails are intercepted, and recordings or copies are made, for them to abuse that information in a way, again, that has nothing to do with tracking terrorists or preventing attacks on the United States or its interests.
I mean, that's very true. Once the information is out there, once that phone call is transcribed and taped and put into the system, who knows where it goes and who knows who has access to it and what they're going to do with it. It becomes extremely chilling to think that just because you're overseas, you suddenly have no privacy rights, according to the federal government, even though the rest of us firmly believe that no matter where we are, we remain U.S. citizens with our same rights.
Yeah. I just consider this a tragic loss of our freedoms, and it's something that has been taken away from us with the collusion of leaders, and I'm talking about Nancy Pelosi and others, who we expected to protect and preserve our rights in the face of an aggressive power grab by the Bush administration. I want people to read the new book by Barton Gellman. He's going to be on the program with us tomorrow. He's a Washington Post reporter who's won prizes for his work in the past. And his new book, Angler, about the vice president, is chilling as well as fascinating as we read it. Melissa, thank you for your work, and thanks for commenting on this today.
Thank you.
That's Melissa Nago. Visit her website, privacylives.com, on that World Wide Web thing. We're going to take a break and return. Are you brave enough to call and offer an unvarnished First Amendment expression that could be monitored by your government? I hope so. Otherwise, it's going to be a monologue and we'll put people to sleep. 888-5-PETER-B. Call me. Let me know your thoughts about this. Just how outraged are you? I think this is proof of what we have been warning you about. 888-573-8372. Join us in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
It's almost time for KidFest, a weekend of interactive games, live entertainment, music, toys, crafts, contests, activities, and hundreds of prizes. It's all happening at the Monterey County Fairgrounds, October 11th and 12th. Meet Winnie the Pooh, Bart Simpson, Simba, the KidFest Bunny, and many more of your favorite characters. And the first 400 kids in line each day get a free Kids Fest t-shirt. Kids Fest Saturday and Sunday, October 11th and 12th, from 11 to 4 p.m. at the Monterey County Fairgrounds.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Carl Warren sitting in with your afternoon traffic report on KRXA. At Highway 16 and Ford Road, one lane is blocked by a vehicle while someone's picking up wood off of the shoulder. Be really careful there. At Highway 17 and Glenwood Drive in Santa Cruz, there's bike riding in the roadway, so watch out for them. They've been there for a while. Also on 101 at West Laurel, there's a vehicle stopped on the off-ramp. It's been another beautiful day around the Monterey Bay. Lots of sunshine. Highs into the mid-60s. Tomorrow on Friday, it will be a little bit cooler with some clouds and windy. On Saturday, the sunshine is back. And now we're back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, the Freeze Speed Zone, and I guess I scared everybody off. There are no callers on the line after we revealed that the NSA could be monitoring your call.
Why don't you play the tune? I don't like music.
Brave it out. Tough it out. Go ahead. Pick up the phone, call me, and let me know your thoughts. 888-5-PETER-B.
Somebody I never met, but in a way I know. From a picture show, man dies, but real people lost. What's the deal? This ain't how it's supposed to be. Don't like no average. Took a chance in power, scrap, pop star, died in hell. No fans are screaming, shouting, muscles came up, flushing out. Standing clean on the ground, new identity must be found.
23 minutes into the hour. I want to take a moment here just to update you on the state of affairs here at the Peter B. Collins Show. There's a new posting up at my website under the tab You Can Help. That's at peterbcollins.com. And I know not everybody has internet access, so I'll tell you what it's about. It's kind of crunch time here at the PBC show. We've been on the air in this configuration for 3 years and a few months. And I have been able to subsidize the costs of producing and the satellite time to distribute the Peter B. Collins show. But it has become increasingly difficult. Like many of you, I am being squeezed by the Bush-Cheney economy. And the business that I operate, Collins Media Services, has had a sharp decline in business this year. Many of my clients that I produce radio shows for have had financial problems and had to cancel their shows. And so it's created quite a squeeze. And we're reaching the point of reckoning over the next couple of weeks where I have to figure out whether there's enough financial support to keep the program on after the November elections. So I want to be really clear. We are committed to being here every day through the elections and into the month of November. But I have critical decisions to make because it's costing me money and it's more than I can afford to pay. And I just want to put that out there honestly to you because I don't want you to be shocked if changes occur and you turn on the radio one day and I'm not here. And the reason will not be because of the NSA or any bad actors. It will be because financially we haven't been able to make it work. So I put the word out to you. If you can help us find sponsors, if you can help us find nonprofit organizations, they want to support our program by paying to run messages, commercials, or public service announcements on the program. That would help immensely. If you know of wealthy individuals who can afford to contribute to our program, you can either do it as a gift or we have a way that you can get a full tax deduction for it. Any of those methods will help. And I would appreciate it if you can talk to friends and business people that you know and ask them to support our program. Because I love doing this, and I appreciate the response that I get from so many smart and well-informed listeners to this program. And it's my desire to continue. But I have to address the economic realities. There is no Paulson bailout coming my way. And I need to look to you and the people you know to see if you can help out. So there's more information at peterbcollins.com. The link is right there at the top of the homepage. You can help. And if you don't have internet access, you can write to me at Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. And we do accept checks or cash. You can make them out to Peter B. Collins, and I will thank you for that. And again, my address is Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. Here's Randy in Crescent City. Welcome, Randy. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thanks, Peter B. I try to listen at least for a little bit every day, and I'm sorry to hear that Paulson isn't going to bail you out, but I'll tell you right now, I will log on, and I will make a contribution.
Well, thank you, Randy. I very much appreciate that. We have a PayPal set up there, or you can just mail something in. And people helped us a lot to cover our costs for the Democratic Convention in Denver in August. And I really appreciate the support that we get. I got a $1 contribution from somebody, and I appreciate that as much as people who were able to send $500, because I know that many people who listen to this program don't have a lot of spare change.
Right, and I think it's great that you're asking, because if you didn't let us know, we wouldn't know.
Right.
What I wanted to say was personally, I'm a veteran. I served during the Vietnam War. My dad was a veteran. He served during World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. Both my grandfathers were veterans. In fact, we've had a member be in the military since the Civil War, as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
Every generation. I put myself through school on the GI Bill. I started a business. I was reasonably successful. I invested money. I bought stock. I bought a home. And I consider myself a patriot, because I think that's the thing good Americans do. And I just want to say that I will proudly be voting for Barack Obama as the next president of the United States, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm proud to say it. I think we're going through some difficult times, and I think wasn't necessarily for Barack when he started, but he's earned my respect, and he's earned my vote. So I just want to let people know that there's a lot of us who are patriots, consider ourselves patriots to the true American ideals, not the kind of weird stuff that's going on nowadays, and we will be electing a new regime into Washington.
Well, Randy, thank you for that very important statement, and I'm glad that you're not buying the BS that McCain and Palin are promoting. It scares me because I think too many people are. Thank you, Randy, and I appreciate your support. Thanks for that offer. 888-5-PETER-B. Your call can be next here in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
On July 1st, Carmel's beloved cartoonist Bill Bates had a heart attack. He's been in intensive care for months. The good news is Bill's beginning to recover. But Bill and his family face a long, hard pull ahead, and they need our spiritual and financial support. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please send a check made out to Friends of Bill Bates at P.O. Box 146, Carmel, 93921.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LeCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LeCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's
818-4033. Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones. such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's a pizza paradise where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of a high school football game of the week.
It's Thursday, the day before game day, and we can't wait for tomorrow. Friday, the high school game of the week will be hosted by the Alisal Trojans. The Trojans will be there, the Vikings will be there, and we're going to be there. Friday, 7 p.m. on KRXA.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
You know, I'm not perfect. But I'm perfect for you.
Happiness at a different time. We'd be perfect for each other. Now we're spending all our time in this world apart together. My heart is aching from all the love we're giving.
All right, everybody, sing along with Miss Grace. Lines are open for you in the free speech zone right now. Don't be too scared to call. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Ladies and gentlemen, my pleasure once again to welcome back to our program the incredible journalist R.J. Schulman, fired from more than 13 major daily newspapers, now publishing at the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch, on a World Wide Web thing at ptsd1.blogspot.com. That's ptsd1.blogspot.com. RJ, welcome.
Hey, Peter B., how are you doing this week?
Well, you know what? I'm a little worried because I think I scared the bejesus out of all of our listeners.
I just think that you're a neophyte compared to some of the professionals who do that.
Well, here's what happened. We led off the free speech zone today with a chilling report about the NSA wiretap program, and it has been revealed by a couple of whistleblowers that they are monitoring calls that don't have anything to do with Al-Qaeda, Osama, national security, terrorism, and in fact, they have intercepted calls from troops calling home from Iraq. And when they have a little pillow talk, a little sex talk, a little something of an intimate nature, these goons who monitor the calls share that with other goons in the next cubicle, and also they've made tapes and passed them around. And so when we relayed this information, I noticed all of the calls dropped off the switchboard. It appears we scared the bejesus out of our listeners. They're afraid that Big Brother's going to listen to them and turn them in.
I thought they already knew that. So I don't think that that's any news. I think the good news here is that probably all of the you know, anti-war talk and all of the people using the phones to maybe show dissatisfaction with the government wasn't being listened to because the monitors were more interested in the sex talk.
Uh-huh. But you report at the Post-Times-Sun-Dispatch that there is a nationwide shortage of Bejesus right now.
That is correct, because, as I mentioned earlier, there are some professionals who have really pretty much scared the Bejesus out of Americans. And this has to do with, of course, it started with 9/11.
Yeah.
But then there was the fear that, you know, Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction.
Sure.
To send those drones over here, that we were going to have anthrax, scares and everything else.
Sure.
And we just kept getting more and more scared. And then, of course, they played with the Homeland Security terror alert levels. And of course, every time that Cheney speaks, it's, there's a lot more Bejesus that gets lost.
So there's been a study conducted by the Nicholas Institute that has determined that America has the lowest level of Bejesus since the survey started back in 1951?
Yeah, that is correct. Even lower than the McCarthy scare of the early 50s about a communist being under everybody's bed. It's much worse now.
Now, one of the people who conducted this study, Pamela Charles, a senior analyst at Nicholas, is quoted here as saying, "When things look scary, Franklin Delano Roosevelt told us that we had nothing to fear except fear itself. Now it seems politicians want to scare us to death. Just look at the latest reports being spread that Barack Obama is an angry black Muslim terrorist who wants to turn the White House into a Flavor Flav-style brothel." Wow. Has Sarah Palin said that yet, or are they priming her to spout that soon?
Well, I think that's where it's headed, and certainly between the lines you can get that picture. I mean, we already have a presidential candidate pointing to the other presidential candidate and saying that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the beginning of the end here.
Yeah. Now, RJ, the late-breaking story that will be posted any minute at PTSD1.blogspot.com, the Post-Times-Sun-Dispatch, has to do with a secret part of the $700 billion bailout.
That's right.
So some of the money is going to be used for all kinds of things. They're going to buy bad paper. They're going to buy commercial paper, maybe some wallpaper, maybe some rolling papers. But you also report that they're buying large quantities of duct tape?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, the first purchase will be for duct tape. And it's not what you think. It's not they're going to, tape some of the leaks in the financial system together. They're going to use the first strips that actually they have to place over the mouth of Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson and Fed Chairman Bernanke, because it seems every time they open their mouth to say something, the stock market tanks. So the best part of this plan is to just get them to shut up.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is very interesting. Now, has Henry Paulson appeared in public with duct tape over his mouth yet?
Well, I think you can see by that quote, which I think that you would do a really good job of reading, that he was in the middle of talking about this when the first use of duct tape actually occurred.
So here's the quote in the story here. "I believe the best way to solve the financial crisis," said Paulson, "is to..." I get it, yeah. I mean, if we could clamp down some of this loose talk, we might get back to some of that exuberance that Alan Greenspan used to celebrate.
Well, that's right. That's right. We certainly don't have that now. And every time they come up with a plan, they come up with a bailout, they talk about buying banks. Every time those guys open their mouth, we're 600 points further down.
Yeah, and the market went down 678 points today, led by the reports from General Motors. One of my listeners said, "Let's rub some credit cards together and buy GM." But you point out in your story here that the real winner today was not GM, but 3M.
That's right. They are the prime manufacturer of duct tape.
All right. Well, RJ, you always dig deep, deep, deep for the stories that appear nowhere else, and I want people to read them and just feel the awe of the work that you do. That's at the Post-Times-Sun-Dispatch, PTSD, the number one, .blogspot.com. Thanks, RJ.
Thank you, Peter B. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you very much. 888-5-PETER-B, and Drew is on the line from Elkhorn. Hello, Drew.
Hey, Peter B. I just wanted to say I would be extremely disappointed if we didn't end up on the fascist feces list by calling your show.
Well, say it loud and give them your social security number while you're on the line.
Please run my IRS. Yeah.
Well, and that way they won't confuse you with the conservative guy named Drew who calls in from the Monterey area.
Yes, he's besmirching my name. It's one of those things.
Well, and I appreciate in your emails when you drop me a note, you always say you're the other Drew.
DNR, definitely not Republican.
So what's on your mind today, Drew?
Oh, that I just wanted to pass that on. I doubt that the drop-off in calls, anyone calling you must be aware that they're being monitored.
Well,
I'd be amazed if they're not monitoring, since there's so few outlets, every liberal talk show.
Well, we used to actually salute our imaginary NSA minder. And I'm trying to remember what I called him. I gave him a name, and it's been so long. Benny. That's who it was, Benny.
Benny, great.
Yeah, and I used to, in fact, let me pull it up here. I have a little sound effects deck here, and we have a really annoying sound that I'm about to play. So if you have earbuds on, you might want to
turn them down. Okay.
Yeah, turn them down or pull them out. But this is the way we used to greet Benny. And just imagine that he has the tragic assignment to listen to every minute of the Peter B. Collins Show every day. And I got this, and then if it gets really bad, there's that one.
Well, thank you for being you.
All right, Drew, thanks for the call. And now it says on my screen we're talking to D.B. Cooper, who once parachuted out of a plane over the Northwest. Hello, D.B. Oh.
That would be me, I guess.
Yeah.
I just use that as an alias, but whatever. I just called to talk about health care, the universal health care, whatever plan they had going on for it. I lost my live-in girlfriend of 4 years. She went to a specialist who put her in a hospital southwest of Grand Rapids. I don't know if I'm allowed to name the name of the hospital or not.
It's all right with me.
Okay.
Now explain one thing, DB. When you say lost, she left you or she passed away?
She passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, I didn't call for sympathy, but thank you for your concern. She wasn't that sick when she went down to the specialist. But the last message I have on my machine is, guess who's not coming home, and that's pretty much what happened.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, she was on an IV getting Dilaudid for about a week, and then they put her in intensive care with a tube down her throat, and the last I got to see her, she didn't even know I was there. But the whole point is, I really believe that they let her go, and they forced her brothers to make a decision on her condition because she didn't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I've got bills here that have come in, and I've had to make a lot of phone calls. You know, one of the biggest bills was $50,000 for the week that she was on the IV.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't know if Obama can fix that or not. That's something that Congress is going to have to fix. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, I just wanted to make that statement. That's about all.
All right, DB, I'll just share one with you that's got a happier ending, at least to the care that was provided.
Please do.
My sister-in-law, Laura, was badly burned in a fire, and this was about 5 years ago.
Golly.
And she was indigent and without health insurance at the time.
Right.
And she was taken to a public hospital, and I'll name it because I'm so grateful for the work that they did and the devotion that they showed her. And they knew that she didn't have health insurance, but the nurses and the staff didn't care. They gave her the same level of treatment, I believe, that they would have given me with the kind of health insurance that I have.
Right.
And ultimately, she didn't survive. But the episode was one of understanding that, you know, we do need a safety net for health care in this country. We do need to provide. As a right, as Obama said in the debate the other night, when he was asked the question, he stood right up and said, health care is a right. And McCain said, no, it's a responsibility. And I think that that really is a stark contrast and definition of the differences between those candidates.
Well, it paints a real picture of what McCain's all about.
Yeah, yeah. And the model that I described is what every American deserves. That if you are dangerously ill and you don't have health insurance, the services you receive should not be based on your ability to pay.
That's true. That's true. And I don't believe that they gave her bad care, but this gal was only 50 years old. I'm 3 years her senior, but I'm not going to a hospital. There's no way I'm going to do it because I don't believe I'll get, you know, it's just, it's disturbing to think that we can let people die that are not ready to die.
Yeah. DB, sorry again for your loss. Thanks for sharing it.
Yeah, and I'm...
All right. Call me again. Be happy to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B if you want to join us. It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can share a podcast of any portion of our program with a friend or a stranger. Log on to my website. The link is on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Carl Warren sitting in again with you on your afternoon traffic report on KRXA. Over in Hollister and Gilroy, we've still got that dog running around near the junction of Highway 152. At Highway 101 in West Laurel, that car is still there on the off-ramp. And the fella picking up wood on the shoulder of the road at Ford Road and Highway 16 has finally got all the wood he wanted and has left. Still be careful in that area. Be ever watchful for the other cars on the roadway with you as you travel on your commute. Don't you just love this weather? It's going to last for another couple of days. Lots of sunshine and some wind. Highs in the 70s, lows in the 50s. We'll be right back with more of the Peter V. Collins Show after this.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart, Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
The Peter B. Show.
Yeah.
girl who's got those right wingers going is named Sarah Palin.
Oh, yeah.
Catch this comment. A woman who showed up at a rally in Jacksonville, Florida for Governor Palin earlier this week is also a fan of George W. Bush. Elizabeth Dolan, age 31, a single mother and waitress, said she counted Bush among one of the great presidents. He was really good for my family, Ms. Dolan said. We're hurting financially, but he shares our values, just like Sarah Palin does. And what are those values? Well, Sarah Palin says you should demand that candidates answer questions. She went into the hostile forum of the Laura Ingraham radio show, and here's a clip.
Your listeners to start asking those questions and demanding answers of candidates. We certainly, John McCain and I, our lives are an open book. We're called on the carpet every day, demanded of us to answer questions, and I don't see that on the other side. I don't see the other ticket being asked to be truthful and give these details that American voters are deserving. Your listeners have got to ask these questions, too.
What planet does she come from? I mean, that is so bizarre. That is Tom DeLay projection. Her candidacy is no open book. It's a closed book. She is more protected than any political candidate I've ever seen, and I've worked on campaigns where we played hide the candidate. And it's just bizarre. Our lives are an open book. We're called on the carpet every day, demanded of us to answer questions. And I don't see that on the other side. Bizarre. Just plain bizarre. And the media, of course, reports that without challenge, without context. Wayne and Ben Lomond, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for calling.
You bet. How you doing, Peter?
Okay, thanks.
Well, I have plenty of bejesus, but my savings account is dwindling rapidly.
Is your 401k a 201k or maybe a 101k or just down to K?
Well, we're hitting K. I think for some people it might be not too bad, but I've lost $100,000 in the last year, and I'm not encouraged by the way things are going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you, Wayne, I do have a pension account through my union, but I know that the value of the overall pension fund has declined, and it may cause them to cut benefits down the road. I got a little money saved up and a little money in the stock market, and like you, I've taken a haircut, but I'm bald already. I can't afford a haircut, Wayne.
Well, you know, we've had the same problem through our union where there's cutbacks and a projected retirement benefits would be, you know, so much a month, and we get notifications that, well, that's not going to be the case. They're going to be reduced. And, in fact, benefits for the 12-month cycle we're in now are not going to count towards the retirement fund. It has to go into to our benefits anyway. It has to go into the general fund to make up for losses.
Mm-hmm.
So, The economy is really hitting a lot of people. And, you know, when you say, some people just say, well, we don't want to bail out Wall Street. Well, Wall Street is everybody. You know, like it or not, it is. And it's that way worldwide. And we just need to fix the problem.
Well, I'll take part of that and agree with you. We have problems. We need to confront them. Bailing out Wall Street, in my view, is not even a partial solution. Because if what we're dealing with truly is this credit crisis, and we've seen the moves of the major central banks that caused the markets to drop again today, even when it was expected they would help restore some confidence and some calm. But I'm not in denial, Wayne. I do believe we have financial problems. But bailing out from the top and bailing out the very entities that caused these problems, I think is a fundamental mistake. And I think that I'm loath to agree with John McCain. He's late to this party. We've been talking about it for weeks with Dennis Kucinich and many other progressives, that the real need here is to identify the virus in the form of the bad mortgages that remain on the books And we need to pull those out by refinancing those people and keeping them in their homes. And we have to look most fundamentally at where the bottom is in terms of home equities. Because as long as we keep throwing money at the problem, but house prices keep dropping, we cannot find the floor in this market and start to rebuild. And so I think the $700 billion is misplaced. I think it's a colossal error. I think that the Democrats were intimidated into passing it. And so far, it hasn't taken hold and calmed the markets. And again, I quote a listener who sent me an email with this powerful metaphor. He said, the car broke down on the side of the road, and the problem is it needs oil, and instead they filled up the gas tank.
Well, I agree with that. And to the extent that I was saying, bail out Wall Street, what I mean is we're all tied to Wall Street, whether we like it or not.
Well, I understand that, and I think we need to, build firewalls and restore the kinds of protections that were in place before we hit the rah-rah years. And it was Bill Clinton who signed the deregulation bill that Phil Graham sponsored there in 1998. Wayne, thanks a lot for your call today. Great to have you listening to the PBC show. Now to Catherine in Monterey, listening on KRXA.
Hi, Peter B. I wanted to comment on the topic about the health care.
Mm-hmm.
The questioner in the debate framed the question in such a way that was it bad or was it not productive to have healthcare set up as a business. I think that was the gist of her question.
Yeah.
And I think that really is the core of the problem there is that we don't have the best healthcare. We have the healthcare procedures and processes that make the most money.
Well, you're correct, and I have stated on more than one occasion that I believe that our effort to deliver health care through a for-profit model is a colossal failure. And we need to recognize that and give Medicare to every American with universal coverage and a single payer. It'll drive down the costs, it'll improve the coverage, and it may not be perfect, but it will put 46 million or more Americans who currently have zero coverage under at least basic coverage.
And
Catherine,
this is a lobbyist.
Okay, I'll go along with you there. Thanks a lot. And thanks to you for listening today to the Peter B. Collins Show. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Happy trails.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does your
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. As some analysts talked of the market bottoming out, it went even lower today. The Dow dropped 678 points to close at 8579. CBS News economics correspondent Anthony Mason reports.
With the Dow taking another breathtaking nosedive, Wall Street's losing streak stretched into its seventh day. It was just a year ago today the Dow hit its all-time high of more than 14,000.
Should I say happy anniversary?
No, it's probably dreadful anniversary or unhappy anniversary here.
Since then, the Dow's fallen nearly 40% from above 14,000 to below 8,600.
The Nasdaq fell 95 points to 1,645, and like the Dow, the S&P 500 lost 7%. What does this tell trader Art Cashin?
Tells me that the credit markets around the world are seized up in a manner no one's ever seen before.
In fact, the bank-to-bank lending rate rose today, making borrowing even less affordable. Federal regulators and the Bush administration are working on several fronts to get cash into the system. In a statement tomorrow morning, the White House says the president will reassure Americans that they're taking every action to stabilize the financial system. The global stock sell-off continues across the international dateline. In Friday morning trading in Tokyo, Japan's Nikkei index fell nearly 10%. South Korea's benchmark stock average is down 8%. Citigroup has backed away from a court fight over Wachovia. That clears the way for Wells Fargo to acquire Wachovia for $11.7 billion in stock. Before Wells Fargo came along, Citigroup had offered $2.1 billion for Wachovia's banking operations. While it will not try to block the deal, Citigroup says it will seek $60 billion in damages for breach of contract. The price of crude oil fell below $87 a barrel today, and many forecasters expect dramatic price cuts in the months ahead as the global economy slows down. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports there's an OPEC meeting next month.
The OPEC leaders will discuss the impact the financial meltdown is having on oil prices.
The game has changed, you know, from just a few months ago.
Analyst Phil Flynn.
These oil-producing countries got intoxicated with these high energy prices. You know, they basically started pushing their will around and said, hey, everybody needs their oil. We can do whatever the heck we want.
But now he says OPEC is realizing it needs us and may not call for a cut in production because that could only worsen the global crisis.
In Cincinnati today, Barack Obama tried to...